and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, it is. Friday the 13th, Engineer Ron pointed out to
Woo-hoo!
Us. Engineer Ron, who wears an orthopedic earth shoe, to the best of my knowledge.
Bad luck.
Seems like the worst of all worlds, those shoes.
He's making his own luck.
he stepped in his own luck many years ago with those shoes. We got to take a look at those. We have a little technical problem here at the studio. There's an alarm, a fire alarm, that's been going off for about 7 hours, and they can't seem to stop. And I realize that everyone just ignores it because that's what's going on with alarms. You hear an alarm, you just keep moving now because they're ubiquitous. We're being attacked by alarms. Every time you hop into a car and turn the key, 8 bells go off. You don't think, oh, is something ajar, something open? Is my belt not on? You just move forward. But this is the way human beings work. If you hit us with enough, we'll tune it out. Mm. That's it. When I used to do Loveline, I would talk to people, and I would say, what's that chirp in the background? And they'd say, what chirp? I can hear it through the phone. It's very loud through the phone. It must be loud to you in the room. No, nothing here. Really? Oh, there it is. Did you hear it? No. Is it the smoke detector? No. I think I hear the smoke detector. I think I hear the thing where you have the low battery and it chirps every 30 seconds. No. Are you sure? Wait a minute. Yeah, there it is. Oh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Where is that smoke detector? That's in my room. Where are you now? I'm out in the entry hall. I can hear it down the hall. Yeah. How long's that been going on? Wow, ever since we moved into the apartment, I guess. How long have you lived there? Oh, man, it's been, I don't know, 14, 15 months? You got a smoke detector above your bed that's chirping every 22 seconds? I guess so. Wow. If I had a pet iguana and I put it in your room, it would kill itself. You understand? That detector would make it. A reptile would eat its own tail to take its own life. But you're sleeping right through it. You've tuned it out. It's amazing what we can do. And this is the danger in all these alarms. We tune out. It's not that we're aware of more trouble. We just tune everything out. That smoke. There's a building. We have 328 people in this building all not paying attention to the smoke alarm, which is supposed to tell us there's a fire. There's lights flashing. There's buzzers chirping. We're all supposed to be sprinting. I'm supposed to be, you know, people should be getting up off the toilet and running with their pants down the hallway and down the stairs and filing out in the parking lot. No one cares. Why? We've had an ass full of these. Just like the backup beepers on the truck. Meep, meep, meep. Anyone move? Anyone even look around? Meep. I suggest more people will now get run over by trucks because before, at least we used to look around. We used to think, well, you had to look. You might get run over. Now we just hear the chirp and tune it out. I will be killed complaining about a truck's backup beeper while I'm being run over by that truck. That's, I know what my fate will be.
You know what's maddening about that beep too is if you don't tune it out entirely, it goes every 30 seconds, and that's a maddening time lapse for each
yes.
beep.
Because yes.
then you start to wait for, oh, is it over with? Is it stopped?
Yeah.
What? Beep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now
I know.
Now you're going bananas. It
right.
makes you crazy.
That was going off at Nick's house for a little while, and it was every 5 minutes.
Nick, is Nick your man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We couldn't figure out what it was at first. I didn't know what it was. This was when I was still living in New York, and I would come down like every other, you know, like once every 2 weeks. He tuned it out. It drove me insane.
Smoke detector?
Yeah, and it was so high up on the wall that you couldn't, it was like almost impossible to get to. He left it like that for a month.
Yeah.
I'm
well,
like, you didn't fix that yet?
Yeah, check that reptilian brain on Nick. Well, I'll tell you the thing, and I don't know about Nick. Maybe this works for male. He's an actor. Male actors have this. Here's the thing with my wife, and I found with all women. If they can't get to it, it's out of range. It's out of mind. It ain't going to happen. There's no such thing as a ladder. There's no woman that says, well, I'll go grab the A-frame from the garage, set it up, and just go up there, throw a new 9-volter in there. Here's what my wife does. She puts her hand above her head, and if she can't get to it, well, that's it. if there's a dead pigeon that was stuck to the ceiling of the den and its corpse was just rotting up there and it was covered in maggots, my wife would put her hand up, and if it come 4 inches from the, that's it, time to move on. So it's not. Now, here's the thing. You get a group of monkeys, you hang a banana from a string, and you put a couple apple crates on the other side of the cage. Eventually, one monkey starts stacking them up, and he goes up there and gets the banana. My wife would not pass that test. She would sit there staring at the banana. It would turn brown. It would eventually get covered in maggots and fall off, and then she wouldn't eat it. But she would just stand there. Just no kind of, like, I will say to her, how long is that light bulb going to be out in there before you actually make an attempt to change it? I tried to get to it. By levitation, or how did you try to get to it? I put my hand up. I couldn't reach it. Yeah, you have to stand on something. It's a concept. It's a concept that men grasped many years ago. The whole scaffolding, ladder, we got to get up. The whole bell tower thing. Someone's got to get up there. Men do this. Who's going up there? I'm not going. Somebody's going up. And then the one guy goes up and does it. Women just all stand there.
Yeah, not a lot of women with the idea of elevating themselves. Not a lot of women making the climb up to Mount Everest.
Well, you know? We have no aspirations whatsoever.
It's
as
true.
An entire gender.
I'd like some statistics on this, but there's a lot. Like every time you hear about one of your friend's dads meeting an untimely death, it's what happened. He was up on a ladder. He was outside of, oh, there it goes.
There it goes.
He was cleaning out the gutters, and I lost his footing. I smacked his head on the pool coping. That's where they found him. His head was in the pool, but his body was outside. It's don't bring it up in front of Nancy. She'll go to pieces. Oh, you never hear about, there's never anybody you know whose mom fell off a ladder.
True.
Dad, somebody, always some dude in his 60s, or some quasi-celebrity, some guy. He broke his hip. He went, he had a stroke. He hit his head. What happened? Off a ladder. He was on a ladder. Fell off the, no chick. No chick's ever fallen off a ladder.
This incessant desire to achieve is eventually going to kill all men.
Well, we understand that we're going to have to clean the gutters out eventually or change the light bulb. My wife is waiting for the light bulb to sort of repair itself. She's waiting for that filament, that tungsten filament, to somehow come back together and light to once again emit from the bulb. I explain her it's not going to happen. I'll get the ladder out. But what were we talking about now? I've gotten confused.
The alarm
you're
discussing.
Yes. My point is these things, someone, and when you get into a car, get in a car and you turn the key, and I would pay an extra $25,000 for a car that had no buzzers. Like here's the thing. Every single day you get in your car and you hear the beep, beep, boom, boom, boom. Everything's chirping all over the place. And it's usually to tell you that, oh, you got to shut the door or you got to put your seatbelt on. How many times have you fallen out of your car because the door swung open? How many times? And here's what I say. I would gladly fall out of the car once or twice a year in lieu of hearing the bell every single time I got into the car. It would be a small price to pay. It really would be. I don't need it, and I wish there was just something, some box you could check when you ordered the car that said, don't need the bells and buzzers. I got the seatbelt thing worked out. I got to shut the car door behind me. It was confusing at first. At first, I would stand outside the car and shut the car door and then realize I wasn't in the car. Then there was a point where I would leave the driver's side open, crawl out the passenger side and shut that door. It was confusing at first, but now I have the part where I actually get in the car and shut the goddamn door behind me. Oh, there it is. Wow.
It raises an interesting question. If you can't hear it out there, what of all the beeps and alarms is the most palatable? They have a wide range of annoyance. Like this one, if you can't hear, is like, whoot.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone can hear this, but it's definitely distracting us.
Well, then it turns into, that's the worst. That's the alarm that wakes you up in the morning. Then you got the backup beep. Then you got the chirp.
Well, according to every movie I saw in the late 70s and early 80s, we would have an attractive female's voice coming over the intercom at this point.
That's right.
It is time to exit the building. You know what I mean? That we had computers were going to take over and we're going to have female, soothing female voices explaining to us that the spaceship was going to blow up in T-minus 15 minutes.
You know what the thing about the car alarms is that they don't, I mean, the beeping, it's supposed to signal something, but you never really know exactly what it's telling you. Like, you know the one where you leave the key in the car, in the ignition, and you open the door? That one always gets me. I'll be like, wait, what did I do wrong?
We're not moving. Well, you
I don't know what to do.
You dare to open the car door in your own vehicle without doing something the car needed you to do. I'm just saying, let's lose these things.
But Rachel, we're not C-3PO. Talking to R2-D2. We don't understand this series of beeps and chirps.
I know.
Speak English, car, please.
Yes. Wow.
Thank you.
Less than 11 minutes into the show and a Star Wars reference.
I think that's my best. That's my personal best thus far.
Yeah, you average about 13, but this is your personal best. I was speaking of cars, I made a plea yesterday for folks to start ignoring those left turn arrows. Not the left turn arrow when your signal is red, but when your signal is green and your left turn arrow is red, when it's clear, turn left. Here's the thing about the show I realize, and it'll ultimately be my demise. I never got into radio to do the morning zoo thing. I never even got in it for laughs. I never got in it for anything other than to use it as my bully pulpit. I want to get up on my soapbox and scream about stuff that pisses me off, and eventually I'll be taken off the air via lawsuit, or maybe the station manager will wise up. But until then, I would like to use this for change. Mm-hmm. I really would. My feeling is we have a large group of people that are sitting out there. Sure, we could do some wacky morning zoo thing or something, and that might be entertaining to them, but that's in and out of you. That runs through you like pinto beans. I want something that sticks to your ribs. And to me, social change, that's what I'm here for.
Hear, hear.
And I would like people to follow in my steps and start turning left on these red lights. I've done it for about 5 years. I've done it probably 3,000 to 5,000 times. I've not been cited yet. And I would like everyone within the sound of my voice to do this. And that's how you exact change. It really is. It's or an act change. Exact change is something you do when you go through a toll booth. You can exact revenge, though, can you not?
Correct. Yeah, you can.
But you enact change. Mm. Point is if we all did it, it would work. I mean, Rosa Parks got away with it. Gandhi did it. I don't compare myself to these two people, but many would. Many would. I don't, but many would. Yes.
I did it this morning.
Did you?
Yes, I did. Beverly and Rossmore.
Mike, you drove. Wow. I had an awesome 1-2 punch this morning. I came down my hill. There's a signal that is not only, obviously, are you not supposed to drive through, but there's no right turn on the red in this signal.
Ooh.
And there was a guy that was in front of me. And I thought, oh, Christ, this is going to suck, because I usually run this light and just turn left. Now I'm going to have to sit behind this goody two shoes. And up, he went right. And I realized, wow. Bonnie and Clyde.
Right. The Butch, message is already out.
Butch and Sundance. This guy turned right. I turned left. We both ignored it. We both got to work 8 minutes earlier. It was awesome. And I thought, wow, I got a guy who's a thumb in his nose in the face of Johnny Law in front of me. And then there's me. Not enough cops. And here's the deal. If y'all start doing it, it's like, you know, when people start looting. Here's the thing. Yeah, here's the difference. Here's what I want. I want this to turn into looting, not larceny. When a guy's ripping off a stereo store in the middle of the week, in the middle of the day, the cops bust the guy. But when everyone is looting, yeah, I love the footage. There's the guys running down the street with the big screen TV and the boxes full of tennis shoes. And the cops are like, hey, come on now. Come on, knock it off. Let's go. I mean, come on, put that stuff down. They don't really do anything. There's too much going on. You never see him busting anyone, really, because everyone is doing it. That's the whole thing. If everyone does it, there's nothing they can do. If everyone starts ignoring these god-awful left-turn arrows, there's nothing they can do. And especially if you do get the ticket, if everyone fights it, there's nothing they can do. If everyone would make that commitment, they'd get rid of it. They'll put it on a timer. This is what it needs to be. Sure, maybe it needs to turn red from the hours of 3 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. during peak traffic hours, and maybe, you know, 7:30 in the morning till 10 in the morning. But it certainly doesn't need to be red at 10 o'clock at night or 2 in the afternoon. If you've done this, or if you're going to do it, or if you've been busted doing it, or if you have any tips or any revelations, call me at 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. It would be the greatest, you know, legacy to me.
Yes.
If people would just start doing this, and eventually we can get rid of these signals. And again, I'm not saying turn left when your signal is red. I'm saying turn left when your left turn arrow turns red. And there's no reason they should. If you go to the city of Pasadena, for instance, their signals go green, turn left, there's your arrow, turn, and then they go blank. Now it's your discretion. Now it's the same as any other intersection. You turn left when it's safe. Ultimately, the overall more dangerous picture here is the man deciding what's safe for us, what we can do and what we can't do. If you don't leave that to the citizens, we got nothing anymore. And there's the alarm bell.
Can I say this to you?
Yes.
I think that the benefits are twofold. One, you're enacting change and exacting revenge on the man by doing this.
Thank you.
I think it would be fun, as a matter of fact, these people. What if people call in right now and make the turn against the left arrow red on the air? Yes, excitement.
Wow.
That would be exciting radio, yes?
Paul?
Hey, this is Paul. I'm a cab driver in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix metropolitan area last year ranked number one in red light violations and number one in red light fatalities.
Yes.
What you're asking people to do is dangerous, my friend. There's reasons why they do this.
Paul.
There's no rights on reds. There's good reasons why they do that. I've seen at least six accidents in the past 8 months.
Yeah, well,
of people making a right turn on a red.
Well, right turns on reds are legal here in Southern California.
You just told me you ran one on an intersection where it says no right on red.
Oh no, that was the guy in front of me in the Lexus 430. I went left when the signal was red. I did a little worse than him.
Red arrow or just red?
Just red. I actually straight up ran the red light. I've now taken my, you see, me turning left on, me turning left on the red turn arrow was sort of a stepping stone drug, if you will. That was my marijuana. I'm into heroin now. Soon I'll be doing takeover situations in banks.
I've been driving cab for over 2 years, and before that I was a truck driver. The only accident I've ever been involved in was somebody making an illegal left-hand turn.
Okay, but listen. First off, Paul, ultimately, you have to decide when it's safe to turn right or to turn left. Do you not? I mean, if people don't have that judgment, then we're in trouble. Because what about all the intersections that don't have arrows? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do understand what you're saying, but do you understand that they actually put a lot of time and effort into studying these intersections that have accidents?
I understand, a senior wuss. And by the way, for everybody who tries to do something, there's a Paul out there spending way too much time on the internet who's coming up with all these stuff and ruining all our plans. Shocking.
I don't even own a computer, okay?
All right.
Number one. Number two, the reason I know this is because I am a professional driver. I do this every day.
You driving a cab doesn't mean you're professional driver.
Actually, I am. I have a CDL Class A license. I'm a trained professional driver.
It just means things didn't work out. Professional drivers are guys that are on the circuit. You understand?
Guys that are on the circuit don't deal with everyday traffic with people running signals and doing silly, crazy things out there either. They're driving with other professional drivers.
Listen, Paul, the whole reason I'm making fun of your professional driver status is because I don't want you at a singles bar telling the lady you're a professional driver and then seeing you walk out to the hack. She's going to think you're on the NASCAR circuit or possibly Formula One. You're not a professional driver. You drive
yes,
a cab for a living.
Yes, I am.
Listen, I used to teach traffic school. Big whoop. Here's the point. You can decide when it's safe to turn left because there's no traffic oncoming. Can you not?
Yes, but the money of those signals are set up because you can't always tell because of blind turns.
I agree. There's a small percentage, of them that are there because of circumstances.
Out here.
Okay. Possibly, I can guarantee you for every one I find that's legitimate, like it's on the crest of a hill and it's blind and you can't see traffic coming over there, I will find 10 of them that are in the middle of intersections that don't necessitate that, that have no reason. And plus, even if it had a reason at 5 in the afternoon, that reason is now gone at 12 midnight because there's no traffic. All right, Paul? You see, you're a professional driver. I'm a professional talker. Touche. Professional driver. Imagine the disappointment on the lady's face. What do you do? Professional driver. Ooh. Who sponsors? On the circuit? What do you guys have a season? It's always the right season to drive a cab. I got those hubcaps that stay in one place while the cab's moving. Shall I show you?
I've just worked up a little.
I don't drive the cab with the Lucite window open in the back very often, but for you, my dear, I'll make an exception.
Hey, I'm not usually very good at math, but I think I've just worked up something called the Paul formula.
Yeah.
It's cab driver plus white equals loser.
It equals blowhard as well. It's not the Paul formula, it's the puss formula. There's always some puss that's going. Now, you know, there's a reason. There's always that guy. There's that guy where you go, geez, why do they got to put these stickers all over the tomatoes? They put them on there for, they always tell you why. Yeah. Of course there's a reason why. Let's stop it. That's what I'm saying. I can be trusted to turn left. Do you guys feel like you can be trusted to turn left when there's no oncoming traffic?
I don't need the man to tell me when to turn.
Yes, or Paul. All right, we will take ourselves a break. We'll take more calls on this topic. I would like to start a wave that sweeps this nation.
Make the turn on the air, I say.
Yes.
Call in and do
call
it.
In. 866-901-ADAM. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM. And you will be answered and you will be properly taken care of.
Yeah. All right. No guarantees of that. But you can call 866-901-ADAM and tell us about your stories of thumbing your nose in the face of Johnny Law. I've decided to start a grassroots campaign to run these red turn arrows, the left turn arrow. They did not used to exist here in Southern California. Now they pop up at the rate of, it seems like, 10 a week. They're just starting to spring up everywhere. And initially, they were put there because they were going to alleviate traffic during congested hours. You're going to turn left. But they turn red, and now you just sit there with your green light. And the most insulting thing of all is you oftentimes have to wait for the signal to cycle again. So light green, arrow red, zero traffic coming in the other direction, and you just sit there like a lemming, just with the man telling you what to do. And, you know, we as a society, we worry so much, especially in this country, because of our history, we worry about the man. Like, hey, Bush is tapping into phone calls. Bush is listening to your phone calls. This is an attack, and it's against the whatever amendment. And before you know it, we're going to be have some king assigned to us from Imperial Britain, and we'll forget about him listening to phone calls. What about the arrows? What about all this stuff? What about all the permits you got to get? What about the man telling you to come over and, oh, no, you can't build that fence. It's over 3 foot 9 inches. No, you'll not be able to do that. What about that? That's what we got to worry about.
You know what
not
it is?
Not the NSA. Yes.
It's like Lost. They're just doing it like Lost. They have to push the numbers and the button every 118 minutes or whatever. They're just doing it to see if you will do it, to see if they can control you.
This is a test that the man is putting out. Meanwhile, these are decoys. These are smoke pods being lit off in the distance. These NSA, they're going to listen to our phone. And we have this thing where it's like, we think we're free. Meanwhile, half your paycheck goes to the government. Think about that, folks. Shouldn't that be job one for all citizens who feel they're oppressed, who are worried about the NSA listening in on their retarded know-nothing phone calls? How about that? How about the fact that there's a rule and there's a law every 8 feet? How about the fact that you can't put a swimming pool in your house without building a fence around it, even if you don't have kids? How about that? No one thinks about these things. Law and the man is all around us, and it's crushing us like a bench vise. Yet we get focused on these sort of on these things that don't affect us, like the NSA listening in on what percentage of Americans' phone calls. Really? That's what we got to think about? No, we need to think about arrows. Arrows, my friend.
Get out from under the man's iron boot that's choking the life out of you across your throat.
I agree. How say you?
Well, here's an interesting one for you, Adam. First of all, Paul is probably the only taxi cab driver that drives 45 miles an hour in the fast lane on the freeway, so I think we've all met him.
Yes.
But second of all, there are little sub-laws to most of these laws, and in California, one of the things about red arrows and red lights is certain times of the night, if you can see 500 feet in either direction in the intersection, you can go through that light.
Really?
Yeah. I'm in Las Vegas and I'm stuck behind a car accident. Go figure.
Yeah.
Taxi cab even. Hey, look at that.
Hope it's Paul.
Yeah, but I mean, it's,
nice.
You know, there's little sub-laws to some of these things because I don't think the man actually wants to sit through those arrows either.
All right, so you're saying if you can see 500 feet in the distance and it's clear, you can ignore the red arrow.
That's what the vehicle code says, but now some city ordinances come in, but who cares? Who's going to see it?
Yeah, that's my point. Thank you. My point is here's how cops work. They pounce. They pounce when they see movement, and this doesn't look like anything. Cops are looking for something that looks like you're breaking the law. They must need to see you weave. They need to see you speed. They need you to do the e-brake Brody in the intersection. They need you to do something. You turning left when the light is green from any angle except for directly behind you looks like nothing. That's why I've been able to get away with it. Here's my point. If I sped for the last 5 years, if I just blew by everybody on the freeway for the last 5 years, I would have 150 tickets by now easily. But yet, I've broken this law 3 times a day, every day for the last 5 years, and yet no citations. Why not? Doesn't look like anything. That's why we need to do this. Jamie?
Yes.
You're a cop?
No, I'm not a cop. I got pulled over yesterday.
Really?
For running a red arrow.
You did. Well, where was the cop?
He was parked in a Jiffy Lube parking lot right in front of my apartment complex.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one of those stupid red arrow lights right in front of my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I run it every morning.
Smart.
Every morning.
And what happened?
He didn't give me a ticket.
Why not?
Because I blamed it on you.
Really?
No.
Listening to the show.
Wow.
No, look at the power.
I could be like the Manson, the Charles Manson. Which is, I don't actually break into the house and carry out the stabbings. You're just my puppets, but I end up doing the time.
Interesting.
So he lets you go?
Yep.
Okay. Well, now you're going to do it again tomorrow?
I just did this morning.
Yeah. Nice job.
You just keep doing it. You eventually break the will of the man.
That's right. That's my point. This is it. What it is if we all take turns and we all just do it one at a time and we do it incrementally, we're going to get busted. If we all do it at once, it's a prison break. That's the whole thing. We're in prison. The man has put us in his gilded cage. I don't know what that means, but I think I heard it in a Rush song once and it stuck with me. Point is, We're all inmates. If we try to break out one guy at a time, it's not going to work. We all have to scatter. It has to be a prison break. Sure, some of us are going to get hit with that beanbag out of the shotgun, but the lion's share of us are making it over the wall to safety.
It's like at the end of Victory,
mm-hmm.
the movie Victory, the classic starring Sly Stallone and Michael Caine.
Rachel's favorite
soccer
movie.
Game. The end of the game, they run out of the stadium. Thousands of people descend from the stands, and the Nazis are trying to grab them as they exit. But they're all blending in They don't know who's who. You all run out. This is what you do.
The cops
can't keep track of everybody.
But if Michael Caine or Pele or Sly said, we'll go incrementally one at a time, then they'd all been taken down.
The Nazis are waiting for you at the gate. They grab you.
Nothing worse than them Nazis. Darren?
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
What's happening?
Got a question for you.
Yes.
Now when you get pulled over, are they going to say, instead of saying, hey, you're that guy on Loveline, oh, I love your show, they're going to say, you're that a-hole who's telling everybody to run the red arrows.
Well, here's what I would imagine. Just like the Nazi movies that Sheck refers to. In every good Nazi movie, once Hitler's gone at the end, these guys drop their arms. They're secretly relieved. they're happy that they don't have to carry out the will of this tyrannical regime anymore. And I don't think cops want to do chicken-ass jobs. I think cops, who became a cop to sit around at a Jiffy Lube and bust middle-aged women for ignoring a left turn arrow?
There's no glory in that.
No, you became a cop to repel. If I was a cop, I'd be doing nothing but shoulder rolls. That would be my primary mode of transportation, a shoulder roll. Yeah. My partner would be like, you want to ride in the cruiser? No, I'm shoulder rolling. I would just roll. I would just do that shoulder roll next to the cars. We drove
revolution, do you come up with gun pointed?
That's every second revolution.
Oh, I see.
The other ones, I pop up, slide across the hood, and shoulder roll on the other side of the car.
Nice.
And then every second one, I pop up with guns drawn.
I see.
And it'd just be a bunch of rappelling. And it'd be like, I'd be like, we'd slide up. Me and my partner would slide up. And he'd be like, there's a perp in there. And he'd say, I'm going to call for, and I'd yell, no time for backup. No time for backup. I'm going in. And then I would yell at him, go to the trunk of the cruiser and get the rappelling equipment. Get the rope, get the grappling hook. And he'd be like, Sarge Carolla, it's a one-story building. Don't argue with me, I would yell. Get the rappelling equipment. And I would rappel into the one story, into the first floor. I would get him to do that grappling hook, throw it up, you know, get it hooked up on the parapet up top, and I would actually just walk in with the rope rappelling hooked up like, and it's screaming, no time for backup.
Because that's the one element, yeah, that's the one thing you've got going for you, the element of surprise.
Yeah.
They would never see that.
You still there?
Yeah.
That's because you would be a professional law enforcement.
That's right. That's right. I would not spend my day handing out chicken-ass tickets like so many of our fine men in blue do. I would be taking down perps and screaming, no time for backup. Here would be my problem as a cop for my with my no time for backup policy. When people called me to back them up, I would yell the same thing. No time. And then they just have to go it alone. We need backup. We're taking fire. No time for backup. Wait a minute. What do you mean no time for backup? We're calling you for backup. We just keep yelling and then we'll get the rappelling equipment. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. I'll tell you, it really brings a warm and fuzzy glow to my heart to know that so many people are hearing me and running these things and rising up against the man. God love you.
Got a big show today.
Oh, big show. That's right. Nick Swartzen's going to be in here. Joe Buck from the Fox football show. Howie Mandel is calling in. Lots of folks, lots of reports, lots of news, lots of sports. All that after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome. Nick Swartzen and Alan Covert are going to come in here, stars from Grandma's Boy, in the 8 o'clock hour. Joe Buck is going to call in. He's the Fox NFL analyst. He calls the games, and he is going to give us his opinion on this week's football. I hope they bode with yours, Shaq. If not, there could be fireworks.
So yes? Be it.
So be it. Mark?
Yeah.
How say you?
Hey, I'm all with you on this running these red lights when they're these arrows.
Thank you.
I ride a motorcycle every day, you know, about 200 miles a day. So I see a lot of highway. And I come up to these stoplights, and the bike and myself don't weigh enough to set off the sensors, so I have to sit there until another vehicle comes up.
They don't even have sensors. You just have to, they just wait for the signal to cycle, and then you can turn left. But the bigger picture is they worry about the danger. I would rather leave that up to me. You're sitting there waiting to be hit by a drunk driver. I don't know. Like, you tell me what is more dangerous, sitting still in an intersection where cars are zooming past you at 45 miles an hour, or deciding when it's safe and moving along, especially on a motorcycle. I would feel vulnerable, especially when I travel in here at 5 in the morning, sitting at a dark intersection just waiting for someone to clip me.
Easy target.
Easy target. Yes, everyone always talks about safety. What about the danger, the inherent danger of just planting yourself in the middle of an intersection where cars are blasting past you at breakneck speeds?
Sitting duck.
Speaking of breakneck speeds, What does this character do that he rides a motorcycle 200 miles a day?
It's not around town. It's in one of those barrels. He's in a he does a circus thing.
I see.
Three shows a day. six shows a week, yeah. Mark, what do you do? Are you one of those delivery guys?
No, I'm a construction worker, and my job travels me around a lot. And if it's under 200 miles, you know, I'll drive, or 100 miles one way, I'll drive it.
Really?
If it's further than that, I'll stay in a hotel somewhere.
Really? What kind of construction?
Heavy equipment.
Mm-hmm. What do you do? Do you operate them?
Yeah, exactly. Run loaders, excavators.
Wow. And you go 100 miles each way?
Usually. You know, okay. It's up here in the valley, you know, work's kind of spread out.
Yeah. Why don't you break
but
down?
It's dangerous.
Yeah. Why don't you break down and get yourself something with a roof on it?
Oh, I got that, too, for when it rains.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Yeah. I used to ride a motorcycle when I worked construction for my first 2 years, and I would put the tool bags around my neck and just hang my tool. I would fasten my tool bags, throw it around my neck, and just drive along like a retard with the bags hanging around my neck.
So cool.
It is kind of macho. It is. It's the modern bandolero belt. Didn't translate into an ounce of tail, but still looked macho doing that. All right, we have been trying to get to something for many, many weeks on this show. It was a get to know the cast segment, which the window will eventually close when we get to year number four, and then we roll out the get to know the cast. But it struck me that not only do you people not know some things about me, but certainly more things about Dave and Rachel, but I don't know everything there is to know about Dave, and especially Rachel, as well. So I thought we would take this time to tell your personal story. Why, you know, you don't have to give us your, you know, favorite color, but what brought you?
Orange.
Please say. What got you to where you are now? How did this happen? I'm always interested in hearing this. I really am.
You're asking me?
I'll start with you, Rachel. Yes.
Where do I start? At the beginning?
Well, why don't you start in high schoolish, unless there's something good before that?
Nah, not really.
All right. High school in Canada?
My parents separated when I was like 3,
mm-hmm.
So I guess that's pre-high school. Went to high school in Canada, went to a bunch of different ones.
I'm sorry, we're out of time. Joe Buck coming in here, 7 o'clock hour. No, you, now are your parents separated, or my parents got divorced as well?
Yeah.
They both had the dignity to get divorced.
We have that in common.
And then you go to high school.
Then you go to high school.
In Canada.
Yeah. Where the first high school I went to, it was like just this, I was like this straight A, like grade 8 student. And then in that high school, you know, we moved from my small town to like a suburb of Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And they made weapons in shop class. And like I got into all sorts of trouble that year.
Yeah.
You
hear about those Canadians.
Yeah. And then a couple years later, we ended up moving back to my hometown, my small town of Brockville.
So in the 8th grade, they call it grade 8 in Canada.
Yeah, we say grade 8,
which
grade
I like.
9.
We got the 8th grade here. But in 8th grade, you went to a tough school in the big city.
In ninth grade.
Yeah. And you were a straight A student up until then. And then you moved back to your small town.
Yeah, in like grade 11.
And how were you as a student in high school?
You know, I was pretty much, I was a screw up for the first few years. And then, I decided I wanted to get the heck out of Dodge and go to university. So I started paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up becoming a university dropout to be a VJ. I studied art and then.
Oh, so eventually you became a decent student in high school.
Yeah.
And then you had the grades to go to the university.
Yeah.
And you went there and your major was art?
Yeah.
What university did you go to, or do we know?
York University.
Ah.
It's got a fantastic fine arts program.
And that's what you were enrolled in?
Yeah.
And so you studied that, but you never completed it?
No. I basically dropped out to become a VJ on Canadian television.
And how did that work? Was there an audition?
Someone told, you know, I was bartending and going to school, and everybody's like, a bartender is also like an actor or whatever.
Right.
And someone was like, oh, you should, there's money in commercials.
Right.
I hear. So I got an agent, and the first thing they sent me out on was apparently Much Music, which is like the MTV of Canada,
mm-hmm.
sent me out on an audition, and they liked me, and they gave me a job.
And so you became a Canadian VJ.
I became a Canadian icon, I like to call it.
Well, let's just hold it right there. We need to take ourselves a little break, but I'm fascinated. I'm intrigued.
Riveted?
Yeah, I am. I really am. And I always think it's interesting to find people's path to their destination that they reside at now. So we will hear more of that from Rachel. Also, she's going to be doing the news. We'll hear Dave's story, and he'll be doing the sports. Joe Buck will be calling. Howie Mandel? Question mark there?
I think he's calling in at 9 o'clock hour. I'm not 95% sure.
All right. Nick Swartz and Alan Covert from Grandma's Boy. All that after this.
Orange.
You listen to Adam Carol Young show. Call Adam New at 866-901-ADAM.
That's where you call me. Go out. Go ahead and give that number out one more time. 866-901-ADAM. Still coffee controversy brewing. I just went out and dumped the craft that was labeled Adam Carolla into my pot. And guess what? You guys will be shocked to find out there was hazelnut cream coffee in there. Such a shocker.
I did not put that in there.
That's spite.
I put the hazelnut in my own coffee mug.
Let me ask this. Did you buy a 55 goddamn gallon drum of hazelnut? Are we ever going to run out of this coffee? It's been week. We're going on week three. How many sacks did you drag in here?
Listen, there's one little thing in the fridge in the green room.
Why isn't it expired? How come I've been drinking? We've been doing the show. We're on day number 17 here of this hazelnut cream coffee.
It's not supposed to infiltrate your coffee, and we'll straighten that out.
Why can't we work this out?
You know,
is it really?
You know what's weird, too, is that there's a specific coffee decanter.
It's got my name on it.
With the Brother P-Touch used. I feel like that's Brother. We're going to get Brother P-Touched everywhere.
Yeah, and yet... I took a nice whiff. Nice, lovely hazelnut. Please, people, coffee is a flavor. It's a flavor. It's its own flavor. We don't need the vanilla. We don't need the chocolate. We don't need the cream de mint. We don't need any of it. That stuff is for pussies. That stuff is for people that don't like coffee. You understand? It's its flavor. Steak's a flavor. Pork chop flavor. Meatloaf flavor. Spaghetti flavor. Coffee. Its own flavor.
Well, if Big Ted is out there, hopefully he's listening. I mean, we gotta not put the hazelnut.
Hazelnut.
In your pot. And if I could kick his butt, I would. But
please,
he's
hazelnut coffee. Hazelnut coffee is a different flavor. Coffee is a flavor. It's a drink. Coffee is a drink.
Thank you.
Hazelnut coffee. Have it if you like it. If it pleases you, so be it.
Yeah.
But it's not coffee. Then it needs
That's
a
right.
whole new category.
I agree.
As I've advanced before. It should just be like coffee or tea. No. Do you have any Hazel Buki?
Hazel Buki.
I'll take some Hazel Buki if you
I
like
have Hazel Buki.
Like,
I'll
out of coffee,
yes.
But I got some Hazel Buki. No, I'll wait until we get the coffee.
I cannot tell you the amount of times I've gone into a restaurant in Southern California and ordered an iced tea. Only to have some herbal hibiscus, honeysuckle, passion fruit flavor thing show up. And you put a sweet and low in it, you stir it up, you take a sip. What is this? I ordered iced tea. Oh, that's our iced tea. You got to sound off then. Mm. That's not iced tea. It's passion buka. Wow.
I see.
Sounds like a great casino game. Head down to Morongo. Try your luck at the passion buka. Asians love it. They go sick for the passion buka. All right. Now, where we left off. The beauty of radio is there's always something to talk about because nothing is ever corrected. I was going to say the first time around, but the fifth time around, still not corrected. I will be able to do this coffee jag well into our second season. Believe me, there'll be hazelnut in it. All right, so Rachel Perry, we were doing the Get to Know You segment of the show. When we last left off with you, you're in Canada.
Yeah.
You were a good student. Then you went off to a tough school in the big city.
Yeah, got drunk at 13. I was a mess.
Had some rough times.
Fell on hard times.
Then went back to a nicer, smaller school. Finished it off. Got your grades up. Went to university. But now you're growing restless in the university. You're bartending.
Yep.
Product of divorce.
Yeah.
And now you have an opportunity to basically do a VH1 Canadian style.
Yeah.
Be a VJ.
Yeah.
So what happens?
Well, I should mention that I had all sorts of crappy jobs before then. So,
like what?
I started working when I was really young. Like I worked at like a horse back riding place, like cleaning out stalls, and then mostly gas stations. Worked in a lot of gas stations.
Really?
Sold shoes for a little while. That was the worst. I think I got fired from that job. I didn't get fired. I just got, like, they stopped giving me shifts. I don't think I was very good at shoe sales.
Now, which guy, I've never been to a Canadian gas station. I only know the ones from the Los Angeles area. Were you the guy who was screaming through the 6 inches of Lucite that the bathroom is out of order?
Yes.
Or were you the guy who stood next to him silently with your arms folded, giving him the stink eye? Which one were you? Because that's all I know from gas station attendants here in Los Angeles.
No, I mean, I wasn't a I didn't actually pump the gas. I just
I don't even know what that is. Do they have people that do that?
No.
I've not heard of that.
I don't know.
If you go, prepare yourself. If
in
you
move, Canada,
if you move to Southern California, if you move to Los Angeles, be prepared for the super, super surly, super angry foreigner who basically looks at you like you have an explosive vest strapped to yourself if you go to the window and try to talk to him through the change slot about getting a candy bar or using the bathroom. Just be prepared.
Rachel, may I ask, in these high school and college years, are you now making a lot of time?
What does that mean?
You know what I mean.
Making
baby,
a lot of
Listen,
time.
Are you making time? Are you, you know, are you a popular girl with the fellas?
With the fellas? When I was in high school, I was kind of like, I went to school for art. I was in drama when I was in high school. Like, I wasn't, I was kind of a social outcast.
Well, let me tell you what I hear. When I hear product of divorce and trouble with dad, I hear nymphet.
Yes. No.
Yeah. That's what you're looking for. If you're out, any guys, if you're out doing the singles thing, you're cruising the bar, find the chick that has issues with daddy. You will get laid.
When do, and at what point
That's
do the...
That's terrible
well, it's true.
For people.
It's good for the guys.
That they should take advantage of that. That's awful.
Well, who says it's taking advantage of it? I'm not saying drug them, you know, hit them with a chlorophyll rag and drag them to the alley. I'm saying engage them in conversation. And then slip
right,
in the
roofie. Right, football, if you're playing a team that has a terrible secondary, you throw the ball a lot. Same thing.
That's right.
Expose the weaknesses of the opponent.
That's right. Good
right,
call.
Thank you.
Good call,
now,
Coach Sheck.
At what point do you start getting, Rachel, the tattoos? Because as we've seen before, the torso, back, front and back, covered in lovely tattoos. When did this happen?
That was after I became a television personality in Canada.
Lashing out against dad.
Everything's about the father, right?
Well, that's what happens. No, it happens with women. Guys get issues with mom. It sort of affects their relationships. But women, if they got issues with dad, they will step out against him.
I don't know. I think I probably have had just as many issues with my mom.
It's weird. I'm sure you do. But it doesn't seem to be the motivating force that dad is on the ladies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I had a weird relationship with my dad.
Now, would he approve of the tattoos?
I don't know. I don't think he...
He doesn't mind?
Yeah, it's weird. When I saw him last, he was like, oh, I saw you and Max. And I'm like, Dad, please don't talk to
me. Did he say anything about the tattoos?
It's so uncomfortable. No, not really. No, I don't think so.
DJ?
Yes?
You have a question for Rachel?
I do. I want Rachel to stand up and just, if she could, show everyone those beautiful sexual tattoos she has in her frontal regions.
Well, we have seen them, although I forget what they are.
This is radio.
Oh, so that's all right. Again, guys right. like me sitting at work first thing in the morning, something to dream about.
I'm actually taking my whole top off right now.
Well, but it's redundant with the full page spreads that we have hung all over the studio already.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't had a chance to see those, so I need something in my mind to get me going.
Well, Dave looks luxurious in them.
Can I see it again, please, Rachel?
Sure. Here
you go. Yes.
No, come on, seriously. Let me take a look. I don't remember what they were. You showed it to me before.
They're
handsome. I'm not here to make fun of them. I'm just trying to remember what they are. Birds? Are they birds?
Yeah, they are.
Wow. And look where they're nesting.
Well,
they're heading that direction.
You know.
That's all I'm saying. Two of the same.
It's
the Canadian snowbirds is your beloved Anne Murray would sing about.
Yeah. My
what
beloved.
Well, she's Canadian. I'll tell you, one time I was going through customs in Canada, and the chick was giving me a lot of crap, and I was, this is an aside, but I was explaining to her what I was doing in Canada, not getting paid, and she wanted to know if I was getting paid, and she was giving me a lot of crap, And I said, I was doing a bunch of publicity and this and that. And she said, oh, you're not getting paid for it? And I said, well, when your Michael J. Fox does shows here in the United States, he doesn't get paid for doing those publicity for those shows. And she said, who's Michael J. Fox? And I thought, you're from Canada and you don't know Michael J. Fox? And she said, no.
That's a travesty. Canadians.
I was angered at her.
Canadians are basically required to know every celebrity that is Canadian,
guys,
and name them.
You guys
got to
know
will.
Thick, Fox, and BTO, and Loverboy.
Rush, Pamela.
Why with tattoos,
Jim Carrey,
by the way?
Sorry.
Mike tattoos,
Myers.
Why are there such a high percentage of
Alicia Cuthbert.
Snakes? Why do so many people get snakes as a tattoo?
Evangeline Lilly.
Doesn't it seem like you see a lot of tigers, too? What does that have
ladies.
To do with anything? What
Nickelback.
Does that have to do with your life?
Yeah. Hold on. Keep going, both of you.
Avril Lavigne, Sum 41, Simple Plan.
Oh, really? Simple
Orange.
Plan. Didn't know that. All right. So now you're covered with tats. You're VJing. You're having copious amounts of sex with strangers.
No,
and now
I
what?
Didn't
and
say
now
that.
What? That's
I
what
say
I heard.
That.
Well, that's what my
Jeez,
notes say. That.
That's uncomfortable.
That's what my notes tell me.
That's uncomfortable.
All right.
See?
She can count David Allen Greer amongst her conquests. So now you're VJing.
So I was on Canadian TV, and it was, you know, it doesn't pay so well up there, and I've. So I moved down. I got a job on a local New York channel called the Metro Channel. It was like a live music show, and I went there. And then I went just before September 11th. Mm. And then right after September 11th, that show got canceled. So I was freaking out for a bit.
Right.
Because as a Canadian, you can't work in the States unless you're working in the entertainment business, because that's the visa thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I freaked out for a little. And then VH1 hired me.
Mm-hmm.
And then all sorts of other things.
How did the FHM stuff or the,
Maxim
that Maxim stuff come about?
Probably came about. It started out when I was on that show in New York, that music show in New York. We were talking to Stuff, and then when I moved over to VH1, Stuff magazine decided to do a picture article thing on me, and then from there, Maxim and
apprehensive. Are there things you won't do? I mean, not things you won't do, but
hey,
I mean,
now.
If they tell you to into, you know, take your top off and put this chamois on, would you do it? I mean, there's stuff. Did they want you to do stuff that you didn't want to do?
No.
Is there a line?
No. You know what? Those shoots are probably the least, like, nobody's even looking at you.
At the shoots?
Yeah. You're just like, hey, I'm trying to be all
sexy.
Be all sexy. And people are, like, looking at the coconut shrimp on the, at the, you know.
A lot of gays.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I don't think so.
No? Why wouldn't they look at you?
Because they're...
They're bored?
They're bored.
They've seen enough?
I think so.
All right.
Or perhaps they have the dignity to turn their back to her so that when they handle themselves, she doesn't have to watch this.
Interesting.
You do breach that awkward line of like, because I've had, you know, there's been a couple gay, like, stylists or whatever, or you're not sure if they're gay. You can never really tell because they're all kind of freaky.
Here's how I know they're gay. They're stylists.
Oh, okay.
There's certain jobs, stylists, publicists, anything that ends with is. Gay.
It's still weird anytime you got to take your clothes off and change into something else to do.
Yeah.
And they're just standing there. They're like, here, try this on. You're like, I don't. All right. You just kind of go along with it. All right.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If you can't get nude in front of somebody, but if you're changing, you can get nude. It's an interesting thing.
Mm.
That whole backstage, at the fashion show, that's where you want to be because chicks in a hurry to take their clothes off. I am convinced that if I just approached hot chicks at lunch and brought them a sweater and a bra and a skirt and just started yelling, hurry, let's go, come on, we got to get you out there, they immediately just start disrobing. It would be awesome. Let's go. Let's pick it up, sweetie. Get the boob in the bra. Let's go now. And then they just go back to eating their sandwich. I'm going to try that. Write that down. The tats of the birds, any symbolism, any reason? Did you see him somewhere else?
Yeah, my friend Jessica, we call her the heavily tattooed lady.
Mm-hmm.
Her and I introduced her to her husband, Sage. They have two kids now, which weirds
Sage.
Me out.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
And she had them. She had them, and I thought it looked really cool, and it's like, kind of reminds me of her.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really mean anything. Apparently, it's some sailor thing that they're... It's from the safety.
I'm glad it means nothing to you. Well, I guess when you see birds, you're semi close to land.
Yeah, but the weird thing is, people always get tattoos. They're like, oh, I got this thing that's this Chinese symbol. Do you speak Chinese?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
People are idiots and they're blowhards.
Means I'm special.
Yeah. They're explaining that this is wisdom and truth and it's Chinese characters. Please.
Yeah, but you don't speak Chinese, though. Why not in English?
You don't speak Chinese. You're not Chinese. You have no connection to this culture whatsoever. And by the way, everyone close your eyes and think about China for a second. Is it the greatest culture? Is that really where you want to go? Hey, who wants a vacation in China? Pack up the kids. We're going to China. It's awesome over there. Utopia. It's great. All right. So, Rachel.
Yeah.
How did you end up here?
Jimmy Kimmel called me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you remember? We were hanging out at his house one afternoon.
Hey, you know what? When I'm off the clock, I'm pretty high.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
you were
more interested in getting a sandwich, I think, at the time.
Well, I go to Jimmy's. I don't hear, when Jimmy calls, I just hear the dinner bell ring. I don't even hear the phone. Jimmy cooks like a old Italian broad, and he's mad for food. And so when I go to Jimmy's house, I just think, oh, when are we eating? I didn't know it was to meet you. I just thought we were eating.
Oh.
He will lure me over with a trail of meatballs, usually. Every 6 feet or so, I'll eat them right off the street.
Mamma mia,
right up the stairs.
That's a spicy meatball.
That's how he got me into the bedroom, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. Just followed the trail of meatballs up
the
stairs into the boudoir.
Sneaky.
All right. We need to take ourselves. Describe, in summation. Describe yourself in one word. Okay, that's what I was going to say.
Weird.
Rachel Perry, everyone. And that was her path to glory. We will take ourselves a little break, and then she will deliver the news. Also, Dave Damaschek with the sports. Dave, we'll hear your story.
Yeah, at some point.
Let's do that on Sunday.
And Joe Buck is
going to be calling in and do some NFL prognosticating. All that after this.
Hi, this is Uncle Frank from the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show. You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM. Adam, I've been listening to the show every day, and I love it. I'm enjoying it so much, but it messed up my whole schedule. I used to go walking in the morning, but that's okay.
I'm guessing he was giving me the double thumbs up while he was recording.
No doubt.
The great Uncle Frank. Wow, I didn't know we were going to get celebrities to do this. Phone number 866-901-ADAM. We have Rachel Perry with news, Dave Damaschek with sports. Quickly, Doug?
Yeah.
You have Rachel's picture hanging on your wall?
Three of them.
Whoa.
Yes, one in the bathroom, one in the bedroom, one in the living room.
Wow, and you hate her theme music?
Oh, Adam, if you play that song again one more time, I'm going to have to kill myself.
Really? Well, time for you to fall on some show.
Oh, listen to him. He's dying. It's awful.
Listen, here's my rule. Either things have to be good, and I never do seem to find those, or they need to be really bad, and that's really bad, thus good. It's the same way I approach my movie watching. I'm not interested in the sevens and eights and the sort of, it's a quality film. Either I want to see Shawshank Redemption, or I want to see Speed 5. That's it. Iron Eagle 9. That's what I want. I want super bad or super good. And in lieu of good, which we can't seem to mine out of this barren hole in the ground that we work in, we have bad. And bad always trumps sort of good. That's the way I work. Thank you. Jared?
Yes.
You also have Rachel Perry's picture hanging on your wall, do you not?
Yes, I do. I sure do.
Far more popular than I thought.
Fantastic. Out of what?
So unlike high school.
Out of what publication? I know. No hot chicks were popular in high school. Can we do that math? Hold on a second. Can everyone just do that math for a second? No piping hot chick was ever popular in high school? Could that be mathematically possible? I don't think so. I think that's the line, but I don't think it's possible.
Of course not.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's not possible. I appreciate your humility, but it's just not possible. Every single model I speak to was a tomboy. She didn't get asked to the prom, and she wasn't popular.
She's trying to sound
in high school.
Right?
Yeah. I could walk around and find some chicks that weren't popular in high school. They don't look like the chicks who say they weren't popular in high school. See what I'm saying? You were popular. It's just you were a product of divorce. You had issues with dad. You had self-esteem problems, and you wouldn't let it in. You wouldn't let the love in.
That's probably true.
Jared?
Yes, sir.
If you went to high school with Rachel Perry, you would make sure she felt popular. Yes?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. All right, Jared.
How you doing?
We'll let you get back to your masturbation.
Thank you very much. It's right. quite comforting.
All right. All right.
Oh.
Joe Buck is on the phone. He's ready to go. I think, should we do the news now and then do sports?
Let's do Joe first.
We'll do Joe first and thus sports first?
No, let's just talk to Joe first and we can always do news and sports the next break or something.
Okay.
And hors d'oeuvre.
Joe?
I'm not doing your sports.
I know, I was just reading here. I mean, obviously I'm aware of Joe Buck's stellar work, but doing the Super Bowl in the World Series in the same season.
I don't know what happened.
Quite an accomplishment. Also, 4 Emmy Awards. I gotta say, Joe, I've seen many a special on you and your relationship with your father and him being a, you know, legendary sportscaster and doing the Cardinals games for all those years and being a legend in the business. And it's supposed to be heartwarming. I always inevitably just get angry at my dad. I want to kill my dad when I see sitting next to your father. I just love the greatest thrill is being able to share the same broadcast booth with your father. All I can think of is I'm not happy for Joe. I'd like to strangle my dad.
I can understand that. It's all lies. I never liked my dad.
Oh, good man.
Yeah.
And what happened... we have many things to talk about. Of course, the football coming up this weekend. You were doing the campaign for Budweiser, was it not? With
Leon.
With Leon. I loved Leon. I loved those spots, just like I loved Terry Tate, the office linebacker for Reebok. What happened to these things? What happened to Leon and Budweiser?
I think the Leons and the Terry Tates of the world, they end up overplaying their hand a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they think that, I think in Leon's case, that Anheuser-Busch would stop brewing beer if he wasn't doing commercials.
Mm.
So when his agent took that tack, Anheuser-Busch kind of called him on his bluff, and, you know, the next thing you know, he's back in obscurity.
I miss Leon. I miss Terry Tate. I miss all the great campaigns
that
never quite got off the ground.
Professional athletes loved Leon. Because they either, Leon reminded them of themselves or of about 6 teammates that they had. So whenever I was around athletes, football, baseball, whatever, they all wanted to know about Leon. They all wanted the guy's number. They all wanted to hang out with him. And now he's hanging outside the clubhouse looking for autographs.
Will you, animosity for Leon is...
No, Leon was great. I just think he kind of overshot his wad there a little bit.
Yeah, he got cocky and he got burned.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Joe Buck's fame only grows daily, nay, hourly. Joe, what is the difference for a guy who's done so much baseball and now so much football? What is the difference? Is there a fundamental difference in the two athletes that you've figured out over the years?
I think as far as the way we deal with them, I think most football guys are a lot more friendly. I think more baseball guys look at you like, get out of my space, and I want nothing to do with not only doing an interview, but the whole idea of promoting the sport. I think, you know, when your biggest star is Barry Bonds and Barry Bonds doesn't want to do interviews,
right,
then I think you've got a problem. The NFL guys, most of the guys are really good guys. Even a guy like Terrell Owens, who's had all these issues and all these things go on this past year, is actually a fun guy and an engaging guy to be around, and I think he tries to play the media. He misfires, but yeah. Baseball just doesn't get it.
I blame Costas for that, and guys like Billy Crystal for all this sort of sanctimonious blowhardom that surrounds baseball, the tradition. There's nothing like Yankee Stadium, and they don't have...
How about George Will?
Yes. They don't have a sense of humor about themselves.
I agree.
They don't realize it's sports, it's entertainment, it's fun. Yeah, there's a serious side to it, but when the dust settles, You're there to have a good time. You're there to entertain the fans.
I think the best ad on TV, or one of the best, is Peyton Manning doing his ads for DirecTV, I think it is, where the autograph seeker, and he's hanging out at, you know, Walmart cheering on the guy who's stocking the shelves, and he's
right.
You know, he because he's laughing about the whole process and he's laughing about himself, and that's endearing. That's what people like to see.
Well, I'll tell you this about Barry Bonds specifically. You know why he doesn't like to talk to the media a lot?
They ask questions.
But more generally, he's a creep. That's
he
why.
Is.
Yeah. It strikes me as bizarre that guys who swing a bat for a living and field ground balls act like they're doing the world's most important work.
Well, you know what, Barry, from when I talked to guys who were in college with Barry, and I talked to other guys that knew him when he was younger, that's just the guy. I mean, we all work with jerks.
Right.
And I think that, you know, I think on some level, that's just the person, whether he's playing baseball or he's...
Right. So
he's hosting a radio show.
Thank you. I get your drift.
No, I just think that's just kind of his nature. And,
right.
You know, there are a lot of great guys in baseball, just that Barry Bonds doesn't want to be one of those guys.
Well, it's a good point, which is everyone wants to know why athletes become a-holes or why celebrities become a-holes. Maybe they were a-holes at birth, and then you sprinkle a couple $1 million a month on them, and it's just fertilizer for their a-hole plant to blossom.
Right. And then you put a microphone in front of their face.
And now look out. Yeah.
Watch out.
Yeah.
But those are the guys I get to deal with. So they're fun. It's great to be made to feel like you're just a pebble on the beach of life.
Yeah, you're a nuisance is basically what it is.
So you can either do one of two things. Like you said, it's either Iron Eagle Mine or it's Shawshank Redemption. You can either A, walk away and not put yourself in the situation to be, you know, made to feel like you're a zero, or this is even better.
Mm-hmm.
Just hang around and constantly ask questions and put your hand out and shake their hand and just annoy the hell out of them.
That's the Iron Eagle route, the high road, my friend. That's why I respect you. That's why I got the
tweed style.
Yes, she's in next. Don't make fun of her.
Hey Joe, where are you going to be this weekend for the game?
In Chicago for Carolina, Chicago.
Do you get to choose that, or does the network decide that for you?
That's a decision that's made way above me.
So what
I
do
just
you
go where they send me?
What do you think? On this weekend in the playoffs?
Well, as you know, Adam, we're just kind of rooting for great games. But I think if I had to pick my pick in the game that I'm doing, I think Carolina is the most dangerous team in the NFC.
Mm.
Now, they've got to win road games to get to the Super Bowl. I think they're probably the most talented overall. But the Bears, with their defense smothering, they could win.
Yeah.
But I if I had to pick, I'd pick Carolina as being the better team.
By more than three?
Really?
Well, and they're getting three. So.
Oh, really?
Oh, right, true.
They're
sorry.
The dog.
Right.
And how about the other games? How about Pats?
Seattle giving nine at home to the Redskins.
Unbelievable. I think the spread's too big. I like Indianapolis, obviously, to win. I like New England to win on the road because it's still Brady and it's still Belichick. And I, you know,
I do too.
Them.
I do too. And I'm always shocked to hear so-called experts say, I know they've won 10 in a row. I know they're the hottest team in football, but this is where it ends.
Right.
Really? How many times did we hear that last year and in seasons before? I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love them. I would love, there's nothing I love more than for the Pats to lose, but I just don't see it happening.
I don't either. And I think Washington could win at Seattle, but they might be too banged up and too injured. If they were full force, then I'd say they could go up there and win. But I just think Seattle might have too much for Washington this weekend at home. So there you go.
I'm
your man show boy prognosticator picker.
I want to thank you, by the way, Joe, for making and having an opinion on these games, even the ones that you're doing, obviously. Mm-hmm. The Bears game coming up. Is that Saturday?
No, we're Sunday late.
Sunday late game, the Bears game, because so oftentimes I watch like Inside the NFL and they're picking the games, and of course Collinsworth has to abstain because he's doing the game.
I don't get that. I mean, who cares?
And it suggests you have some sort of power over the games. Like,
right.
Well, of course.
I mean, people hate me, and, you know, if I'm doing the Yankees Red Sox ALCS, the key is, and the objective is to get as many people in Boston to hate me as there is in New York, because that means that I'm kind of splitting it down the middle.
Right.
So, and that's people hear it and they think, oh, the announcer's rooting against my team. I hate this guy. And that's just the way it is.
I would find it more entertaining as a listener or viewer if I knew the announcer was rooting one way or the other, either for my team or against my team
Not really entertaining when you're the announcer.
No, I know.
You need security to go from the booth to the bathroom is not a good thing.
I understand, especially, and one last quick question now. What is the worst stadium to go to? I mean, who are the drunkest and worst fans? You hear about the Philly fans having a...
I would say the ones with the most venom, at least toward me, is Boston.
Boston.
Fenway Park.
I had... thank you.
Yeah.
Joe, I had no idea what a-holes everyone from that part of the country was until the 2001, or was it 2002, Super Bowl when the Rams played the Patriots. I'm a Rams fan. I was actually okay with the Pats winning at that time because they'd not won a Super Bowl up until that date. And I thought, all right, well, if they got a win, the Rams won last year. Let a team win that has been to the show a few times and lost. I went out that night into New Orleans. There were dozens and dozens of drunken New England fans, and they weren't interested in celebrating a win. They were only interested in finding Rams fans and making fun of them.
That's why when the Red Sox won in 2004, and I'm from St. Louis, I live in St. Louis, I do Cardinal games, I'm not doing Fox games, you know, everybody said, oh, naturally you're rooting for the Cardinals. Well, I happen to be the only guy ever to say the Red Sox are world champions on TV, so that's not exactly a bad thing. I wasn't rooting for either side, but people hear it the way they want to hear it. And then when all the Boston fans were in St. Louis and the Red Sox won and they swept the Cardinals, every fan was like ducking, like waiting for somebody to throw something at them. And people were buying them beers, patting them on the back, and, you know, congratulating
them.
I think that's the way most people would be.
That's why we should all pray to the football gods that the Pats just go ahead and lose on Saturday.
I'm not saying that.
No, that's what I heard. That's what I heard.
Red Sox fans don't like me.
I did the math.
Hey, Joe, real quick, I just want to say, 1992, graduated at Indiana University. I joined you in this. We graduated the same year.
Well, here's where it gets weird. I just left.
Oh, really?
I didn't graduate.
No.
I'm a dropout.
And now you regret that. Look what's happened to you.
Hey, Joe, Jimmy Brusca here. I just want to say thanks for coming on. And
hi,
to just...
Brusca. You know it's a bad, bad start to a show. First week you got a sports guy on. But hey, who am I to say?
Thanks, Joe. We do appreciate you coming on.
Love you guys. Anytime.
God love you, Joe. What a guy. Joe Buck, thank you very much. Fox this Sunday, Chicago. It's going to be a good game, Carolina, Chicago. We'll take a quick break. Then, finally, we'll get to some news, some sports. Also, Nick Swartzen's coming on here. Alan Covert from Grandma's Boy. Howie Mandel calling in. All that after this.
You're listening to The Adam Cole Show. Call Adam Cole now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yes, indeed. 866-901-ADAM. Well, finally, Rachel Perry with her news.
Hope nobody kills himself while we're playing this music.
He already did.
Well, in the headlines, questioning of Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito has come to a close with Republicans praising him, Democrats claiming Alito was evasive, no word yet on when the Senate Judiciary Committee will vote. Iran says that if the UN Security Council confronts them over their nuclear activities, they will block the watchdog International Atomic Energy Agency from inspections. This comes after the UN's two-year negotiations with Iran over their nuclear program have come to a dead end.
It's always nice to get threats from nothing countries. We get a lot of that. I like the general, you'll burn, you know, Allah will hit you with 1,000 fists and all this stuff. Keep talking. We'll do what we want. Thank you.
Now on to the important stuff. New movies this weekend coming out. Last Holiday, it's a movie that stars Queen Latifah as a conservative woman who finds out she only has 3 weeks left to live. She was on Regis and Kelly yesterday. Let's listen to what happened.
I'm working on the next one. Hopefully it'll be out around May. And I'm also working on kind of a hip-hop R&B joint, too.
Oh,
really?
Good.
So it's only a matter of time before you become a rapper.
Yes. I'm hoping to.
Really?
Yeah. I really like like rap.
It's just a matter of time before you touch that genre. She started out that way.
As a rapper?
Yes!
Well, it's 103. I mean, give him a break. He listens to Guy Lombardo on a Victrola. iPod Victrola.
That would be almost racist to say you're eventually going to be a rapper if in fact she hadn't actually been a rapper, though.
Yeah, right? That's true, too. As if all black people can rap when only 95% of them can actually rap.
Mm-hmm. There's a movie called Glory Road coming out, which sounds suspiciously gay.
Yeah, sounds like a bar Sheck was at last night.
But it's actually about the story of the first African-American starting lineup to make the NCAA basketball finals.
Yeah, I've been watching the commercials. It seems like a good movie, except for the part where in 1961 the guys were doing the crazy alley-oop with the tomahawk dunks. Didn't see a lot of that at the collegiate level.
Reverse alley-oops.
Reverse.
Yeah, from mid-court.
Alley-oops. Five slam a jamma stuff where the guy still has the belt and the shiny shorts. Didn't see a whole lot of monster jams back then. Interesting.
Hoodwinked is coming out. This looks good. It's an animated comedy retelling of Little Red Riding Hood. And Tristan and Isolde. I'm not really sure what this is about, but I have a clip from the trailer. Maybe this will help.
Mm-hmm.
Since you were a boy, you've sacrificed everything for me. Did I love him like a son, or did I misuse him for my own purposes?
Well, it's like a perfume ad. Gay perfume ad. You sure that was the right trailer, Mike?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Because I don't remember it going that way. I remember it being a little more action-packed. That's the way I recall it. No, I think I saw it last night. I think it had
In their right heart, no matter what they're mounted on. Miniskirt mob. They reach for excitement, for pleasures, for sensual satisfaction. When and where and with anyone they want.
Well.
Shane, honey, you've been teasing me long enough.
Yeah.
Damn it!
It was a better time back then. Bond. Smoking in the theater, watching this. All right. Rachel?
And, of course, Dancing with the Stars was on TV last night.
Mm.
Anybody? Lisa Rinna?
Yes.
This is what she had to say. Very interesting.
The rumba is really the complete opposite of the waltz.
Again. Oh, yeah, this is going well.
It's like, let's go, baby. It is sensual. It's sexual. You know, it's almost like you're having sex on the dance floor.
You know, people are going to think I'm such a slut. That's all I can say.
This is why guys should learn to dance. They don't realize how much it would help their case with the ladies. Guy can really move. Guy that can really get out there on the dance floor. He's advertising to the ladies. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Guys
they
resist
say
it.
The way that people dance is how they are in the sack.
Yeah. They. You should see my robot, by the way. You should see.
Is that a euphemism for something else?
You would go through two pair of panties if I did the robot for you. Even though you're only wearing one, a pair in your panties drawer would be soiled if you saw me do the robot.
Well, thankfully, you're not going to do it right now.
You're damn right. You should thank your panty gods that I'm not going
to
do it.
I have so much amusing stuff about the entertainment world to give to you later, but that's it for now.
All right.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
NBA last night. Kobe versus LeBron in L.A. Lakers win it 99-98. Also, Phoenix beats up on Golden State. Detroit whips San Antonio in a possible finals preview. Pac-10 hoops. Oregon State upsets Arizona. Arizona State also losers. UCLA sneaks past Washington State. And Washington beats USC. Buffalo Bills head coach Mike Mularkey has resigned.
Mm.
Tomorrow, round two of the NFL playoffs.
Yeah.
NFC, Redskins at Seattle. Carolina at the Bears. In the AFC, Denver hosts New England. And the Pittsburgh Steelers go to Indianapolis to play the Colts.
Oh.
All right, listen. Very quickly, I want to play something. All right, here's Coach Cowher getting ready for the game. I love Coach Cowher. You know, no bigger
what
fan.
What team is he?
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, okay, all right.
Listen, I can't wait for the game. But here's what Coach Cowher. He does like the cliches a little bit.
We're gonna have to bring everything we have and more some.
in this football game and to have a chance to compete and or win this game. And I think we understand that. And at the same time, that's why it's the playoffs. And that's why you play the game.
There we
and,
have to play the game.
We'll show up. We'll be there. And
hold on, I'm writing this down.
And
why you play the game?
We'll be able to do some things better than we did the last time we played them. And that's why you play the game. And
really?
I think we understand that. And at the same time, that's why it's the playoffs.
Oh, it's the playoffs.
Yeah, that's right.
Why do you play the game?
Hold on, is it preseason we're in?
No. It's time for the playoffs. I don't care about words. The time for words is done.
That's
the time
right.
for deeds has arrived.
Let me.
Here we go, Steelers and deeds.
All right, put the terrible towel down. Let me say this. You know, they always make this this proclamation. We have to play mistake-free ball. The only way for us to win this game is to play perfect mistake-free football. I would not do that. Or if the coach made that proclamation and somebody muffed a punt or did something, didn't get a good hold on an extra point in the first quarter, I'd pack it in. Well, there's a mistake. The only way we're going to win, the coach said, is to play mistake free. We made a mistake. Let's head in. It's called early day. And again, loser goes home. Winner goes home too, but then he gets to leave again.
Temporarily, but then he gets then they to go leave, back out.
Unless
right.
they're playing another home game, but technically still has to leave his house to play it. You know what I'm saying?
Here's right. what I'm saying. We gotta get the
break. Will you come in? Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Yes, what a funk Dave is going to be in come Monday when he comes in here after the Colts smash his beloved Steelers.
Come on, Coach Coward, do it.
All right, we will take ourselves a little break. We'll get a update on Mike, Booker Mike, and Brittany's date. Also, Big Tad. Oh, did they not go out yet?
They didn't go out yet.
All right.
We'll get a report on the August's date.
Howie Mandel, Nick Swartzen, Alan Covert, and Grandma's Boy, all that after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM and do it right now.
Wow. How regal. That's what you should do. All right. We are going to roll out a new bit. It's a little something. I'll preface it by saying I enjoy getting my ass kissed. I think everyone does. They just seem they have to admit no one likes an ass kisser. Oh, yeah? The guy who's getting his ass kissed loves an ass kisser. And just like we spoke about yesterday with Rachel Perry faking all her orgasms, as long as the guy doesn't know it, then it's fine. The ultimate ass kiss, one could argue, is the fake orgasm. Someone tells you, hey, boss, looks like you lost weight, or somebody got laid, or hey, that new haircut suits you. I don't know if they're lying or not. I just feel good about myself. So I enjoy some ass kissing. I know that people kiss my ass, obviously, because of the position I'm in. I mean,
well, right. Everybody likes to have their ass kissed, but you have an inordinate number of people lining up to do it.
Yes.
Desperate to do nothing more.
Right.
And to flagellate you orally.
That's why.
I mean, verbally.
Thank you. I know what you're saying.
And orally, perhaps.
Dave, not as good at it as others. We brought in a ringer, actually, to do a new bit called Ass Kiss Rodeo. We went to the writing staff over Kimmel, of which I used to be employed, and we have Jake Lentz. Jake?
Pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Adam.
Why is it a pleasure to be here?
I love the show. I really love what you're doing is fantastic.
You've been listening to the show.
Every day.
Thank
every
you.
Day. Six okay. hours.
What's your favorite part?
When you're talking.
Okay. Jake, we haven't started yet. So just save it.
Well, here's the thing with the Ass Kiss Rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are willing to kiss your ass, Ace,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, myself excluded. But
right.
a lot of people want to do it. The real champion, the mark of a champion ass kisser, though, is one who can bob and weave with you.
Mm-hmm.
Ride.
Stay with me.
Stay with you, whichever direction
right.
you turn.
Yeah,
you
because
see.
I will change up. I'll
That's
do
right.
the serpentine on your ass.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm
and
a
only,
moving
only
target.
Only a master ass kisser can stay with you the entire way.
Well, like yourself?
Let's see. No. No.
No, not this dude.
Oh.
No. I have something called dignity.
Yes.
Unlike Jake.
You'll notice that while Sheck's nose is huge, there's no brown on it.
Thank you.
Unless you count the sun-kissed brown that he gets from his swarthy good looks.
Oh, ironic that you kiss my ass.
Thank you.
I see. And whether you think that's true or not, I don't care.
I'm that talented. I can kiss others' asses as well as my own. All right. So we're now going to roll out a little something we call Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Let's do it.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, Jake.
Hey, Adam, how's it going?
Oh, it's going good. I was just at the auto show last week. Was looking at those new M6s.
Beautiful car. It's a beautiful car.
Yeah, but it's German. I don't know if I like their politics.
Yeah, of course you don't. You're too American.
Yeah, I am. I am a bit of a patriot, so I was thinking of going with the Tahoe.
Beautiful truck. You would sit in that like an emperor.
Yeah, I'd look good behind the wheel of the Tahoe, but, you know, there's rollover issues. I don't know if I want to pollute the land with an SUV.
Of course, you're a citizen, first and foremost.
Yeah. Speaking of being a citizen, I feel like I contribute enough. I don't see why I have to pay taxes, you know?
You should never pay taxes. You never have to.
What I do on the radio, that's not enough? The advice I give, the mirth I bring?
Way more than enough, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
Would a king pay taxes?
No, he wouldn't. He collects taxes. That's a good point. You know, I was telling that to my wife while I was hitting her. This morning. Let me just be. I'm not just going to hit her for no reason.
No, you don't have to have a reason. You should absolutely hit her.
No,
I'm
she,
sure
yeah.
She deserved it.
Well, absolutely. She gave me the stink eye.
Yeah, well, she shouldn't. And no one should. You should hit whoever you want.
Yeah, my feeling is listen, woman, don't jinx your old man when he's trying to go out and, you know, put some butter on your bread.
You do so much for her. You provide for her. You are a wonderful husband. And if you want to punch her in the face,
yeah,
that's your business.
Speaking of slap in the face, I felt like it was a slap in the face when all this money was going around for Katrina and all the fun for the 9/11. I didn't see penny one.
Sure.
I didn't see dime one.
You should be number one on the list. Who gets paid first? The king.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like even though I wasn't in the path of the storm or under one of the Twin Towers, I still suffered as an American.
Of course you did. Of course you did. As an American.
Thanks, Jay. What do you think of my hair?
Gorgeous.
How do you think I look nude?
I can only dream.
Wow. And that's why you play the game, everybody. Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Well done, Jay.
Felt good.
He rode that bull.
I zigged and I zagged, yet he stayed on.
Well done. I mean, I think he has now laid the template by which all others shall be judged.
I don't make predictions on the air, but I say that Jake Lentz will be wearing the huge Ask Kiss Rodeo belt buckle this time next year.
Yeah. High standards been set.
It would be an honor. It would be such an honor.
I dare all comers who wish to kiss the ass of Adam Carolla.
That's right.
To try to best the noble effort by Jake Lentz.
Thank
Adam,
you.
No matter what you say, I agree. Everything you do is genius.
Thank you. A little something called Ask Kiss Rodeo. Jake, wonderful job. And now, go back to that pit known as the
Jake,
Jimmy Kimmel Live Show.
Jake, by the way, a tremendous human being. Better man than I. That's for not better than you, perhaps, Ace.
Man.
But
right.
this man spent his Christmas in Africa helping the natives.
Yeah.
Needy
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful man, Jake.
Big help.
What part? Yes, and Sheck, remember 10 seconds ago I was showing him the door and we were getting on to the next bit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bruska was doing that thing he does
where
he turns up. Well, listen.
Enough of that.
You're a good man and a better ass kisser.
Absolutely. That's what matters.
That's right. Down. And pleasure. Next Christmas, I want you over at the Corolla Palace helping out. Forget about
absolutely.
Those Africans.
Of course.
Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Jake Lentz, everybody. Now, it is time for a little update. As you know, we found out that our own Booker, and when I say Booker, I don't mean just the average Booker. Nobody
Howard.
Has a Rolodex like this man. The man who was able to get Ron Popeil on the telephone but not get Quentin Tarantino in person. That's what you're looking for out of a Booker. If there was a template, a prototype Booker, it would be Mike August. And we also found out that Mike's penis has not booked a meeting with a vagina in over 4 years. So we decided to get involved. I figured out through my frequent trips to the bathroom that the foxes run free over on the other side of the building. They're, namely the sales staff over here.
Is that why you and Dave go to the bathroom together every commercial break?
That's for something else. I call it relieving tension. Dave calls it a reach around. Whatever. Let's not get into nomenclature. The point is we're creative and we have our own outlets and needs.
Different athletes prepare in different ways.
That's right. Girls. Now, I noticed a lot of foxes in the sales side of the building, so I decided to recruit one or two of them. Brittany, thank you.
Thank you.
Brittany is, and you can find her. How do you find a picture of Brittany, Mike?
You can find Brittany on MySpace.com at search name Brittany, B-R-I-T-N-Y, Rears. I recommend it to all listening.
Yes. Brittany is 23.
22. Almost 23.
Almost 23 and a solid natural C cup. Beautiful blue eyes, blonde hair, everything you'd want in a mate. And you guys went out on a date last night?
Yes.
And Brittany, report back to us on that. How did that go?
How say you?
Okay. Let me start by saying there's no reason that this man should be a born-again virgin of 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
The date went very well.
Really?
We started over at the Conga Room, which is very creative on his part, by the way. He still has the wristband on.
Mm-hmm.
I took a shower.
We're still on a date, right? Correct?
No. But that went really well. I was very impressed, very creative. We danced. I tried to lead, but he...
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was. I was very impressed with that. I stepped on his feet, but we still had a good time.
How does he move? Does he move well on the floor?
Very well. Very well. I know. I was very impressed with that. And it was all like professional salsa dancers, so we were like amongst professionals.
What were Brittany you just saying about men hips. Who dance? That they're
oh, yeah.
in bed.
Yeah. They're sensual. It's you dipping your big toe into the pool and testing the water. Obviously, you can't just watch game film of him having sex, but you can see, you can prognosticate how the game's going to turn out by seeing how he does on the floor, and he did well. He moved nicely on the floor.
He did very well, so I was very impressed with that. Then we were hungry because we had a little bit to drink.
Sure.
So we went over to Fatburger. And,
that was my suggestion to Tad where he should go on his date was Fatburger.
Checkmate.
Show him that he's a laid-back dude early on. That's a nice move on a first date. Like, we could go fancy, but, that's not who I am.
And it was perfect. And not only did we go to Fatburger, but we ate it in the car. We didn't even eat inside. We ate in the car.
Great moment. Walk into Fatburger Westwood, 2 a.m., the entire place stops when Brittany moves to the door. I mean, not only conversation, all noise, all frying style. The entire place watches her walk through the...
Yeah. They don't get a lot of blondes in there that time.
No.
Yeah.
No. We're not playing Ask Kiss Rodeo anymore.
Also,
I'm still dating them.
The second reason, not only did he go to Fatburger to show Brittany that he was a casual man, but... The more important reason is that the William Morris expense account was cut off many years ago, and that's what he used to take his dates on American Express card. But you had the burger. Now it's 2 a.m.
Now it's 2 a.m.
Wow,
had a little to drink, got some food in our stomach, but he was a gentleman. Took me home, locked me to the door,
and then
I went to bed, and he went home.
No.
The any kissing, any hugging. A little bit.
Oh, they just looked at each other.
A knowing nod.
Do we tell?
A knowing glance.
What happened? What happened?
Yes.
What happened? You will tell me.
What happened?
Nothing. Did something happen?
I would say not. First base was not even approached. It was so...
Really?
Absolutely.
You went right to the dugout.
Oh, yeah.
Yet they have so much comfort with each other that they know.
Yeah.
They are insane.
I'm being dead honest when I say he really was a gentleman. It was a great date. If I had to rate the date, I would give it a 10.
All right.
Wow.
Did you wish that he had tried to get the first base or beyond?
No.
Who says he didn't try?
Well, this is what counts. Can he close the deal is what matters. This is how you go 4 years.
He could have closed the deal. But take into account the circumstances were a little weird of the date in the first place, going on the date and being set up the way that it was.
Right.
But if it was, in fact, a real date and, you know, it definitely would have been something
that would have happened.
It's not a real date?
No, it was a real date, but you know what I mean.
Would he have gotten further if he would have taken you to Vegas?
That was part of his original plan until he found out that airlines charge money for tickets. Then he quickly scrapped that one. All right. So you would give the date a 10?
I'd give the date
10.
Nothing happened that I would say, I don't like that, which is very unusual for a first date.
And so Mike August, you would give a 10 to as well?
Mike, if you remember, I originally gave him a 5, which he was very unhappy about, but I definitely have changed my score. I would say
5.5.
I would give him about a 9 now.
Wow. All right.
Seriously, all the ladies who are listening, really check out his, I'm just being dead serious.
I'm just being honest.
Check out his MySpace page. What is it, Mike August?
Yes.
Check it out, ladies.
Right. All right. And what about a second date? Is there room in your hectic schedule for a second date? Or actually a third, because you must go out with Big Pat first.
To be brutally honest, like I said, neither one of them are really my type from the get-go.
Wow.
That's not a bad... It's just not my type.
Well...
I'm not saying that.
Well, now, hold on.
Okay,
well, yeah, hold on.
What happened here?
You gave the date a 10. You gave the participant in the date a 9, but yet no second date? Something's not jiving with the math.
He's not my type.
What is your type?
This is really difficult.
How do you think I feel?
A 10?
Yeah. What is your
my
type?
My type.
What do you like?
I date a different ethnicity.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
She's in the Brothers.
She likes
the Asians.
Wow.
Are you in the Brothers?
I'm really scared of
who's
listening.
She's got yellow fever.
No yellow fever.
No, she's in the Brothers.
No, I do. Wow. I like the Brothers.
Wow, that's why she wanted to go to Fatburger at 2 a.m. She knew every guy in there.
Let me tell you something. She's not alone in this, in wanting a different ethnicity, because as it turns out, Mike August has it bad for another sales girl named Taryn.
Which happens to be one of my best friends.
Thanks, Mike.
A lovely Asian salesperson.
Is she Vietnamese? What is she?
She's Vietnamese.
Ooh. He has it real bad for her.
I have it bad for her as well.
You got to see her MySpace site. Oh, my God.
You can find her on my page.
What the...
Hot.
Does every... look, I have a girl and a boy on the way. I have twins on the way. Can I look forward to her just opening her own website where she's in lingerie or possibly naked in 18 years? I mean, is this now just a done deal for every woman who's attractive? You just go on the internet, you punch your name up, and you see him in a thong back?
Pretty much.
God bless it. No, I'm not. I know I'm saying it like it's a bad thing, but ultimately it'll be good. All right. Well, maybe she'll go lesbian. We will take ourselves a break. When we come back, we'll keep Brittany here. We'll get August out of here, and then we'll set up her date with Big Cat. And Dave Damashek will do the tale of the tape. All that. Also, Nick Swartzen and Alan Covert are here from Grandma's Boy. We'll get into them after this.
Want me to say the same what you said? You're listening to Adam Carolla Show.
Call Adam now.
Call Adam now.
At
866. At 866-901. What is Adam?
Tad, don't put words in his mouth. The guy's a fan. Let him speak for himself.
He couldn't read it. I had to tell him.
Wow. I'll tell you, the day Big Tad coaches me on readings, the day I put a pistol in my mouth. It's time to take a good long look in the mirror when Big Tad is feeding you lines. Wow. Big Tad, everybody.
What's up, guys?
What's happening? The reason they call him Big Tad is because he's fat, and his name is Tad.
I'm fluffy.
Big Tad. And also, hence the reason he hasn't been laid in over 2 years. Now, Big Tad is going to go out on a date with young and beautiful Brittany. And a little bit of a disappointment, but yet a revelation when we found out the C-cupped, beautiful blonde, 22-year-old Brittany sales girl was into the dark chocolate. Mike August, and I got to tell you, very sad, because I thought this thing was leading to a love connection. Gave the date a 10. Gave Mike a 9, combined 19. I mean, you don't get much better than that. And then it turns out she doesn't date within her own race.
Hey, where are the white women at?
I don't discriminate. I mean, it's not only...
Mm-hmm. It's not what it sounds like.
I give everybody a fair shot.
What is it, but yet not a second date for Mike just because of the color of his skin?
No, you give everyone a fair shot, yet he's a 9 and you gave the date a 10 and still
but
nothing?
But I can't help it if it's not, you know, if I didn't have that that feeling, you know, that one feeling. I didn't. He's a great guy. I had a great time, but it just, you know.
And what is it? I'm curious. What is it about the Brothers that you particularly enjoy? Because Mike may be able to accommodate you in certain departments. That's all
I thought
saying.
We covered that.
Yeah.
Hey, so you see how truly hopeless this entire mission is that you set out for me?
Yeah.
I mean, come
that's
on.
That's not true. The mission
a
10 was...
Day, a
that's
9 overall score, and I'm still... I come up completely empty.
I think we'll get some heat for you, though, Mike, on the website.
The mission wasn't to get you laid by me. It was to find out what the problem is, if any, and what to do to fix it so that you won't...
But there is some gap here in that you're saying 10 for the date, 9 for him, so on and so forth, and yet you're not really critiquing him in a helpful manner. Give him something like, what should he change? First of all, I can say this. I would start wearing socks if I were a 40-year-old man and you wanted to score
we
a lady. He doesn't wear
far.
Socks. Give him a tip. How can he improve himself? That's what this is all about.
To be honest, I was thinking about it this morning on my way here. I was thinking maybe this is just his tool to get women in bed by telling them that he hasn't been late in 4 years, because I really don't, I honestly don't understand it. Unless it's his choice. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's his choice. Maybe he's insecure. There's got to be some other reason, because honestly, there's no reason why if we had been set up in normal circumstances and I from the get-go was attracted to him, everything would have went it went well, so it right. It might have led to who knows where.
So
I just don't get it.
I believe it's lead, by the way, but Tad you tell us, since you're a thesaurus.
I wanted to know if Mike even
lead.
Tried. I asked if he showed her his wiener, but he said he tried.
Really?
I was joking, of course.
Okay. All right, we have to keep moving.
Here's the thing.
I am picturing the Snow White and Blonde and Busty Brittany with a Nubian warrior. And
no.
I'm becoming aroused.
Dad,
listen,
turn off your radio.
That may be her preference the vast majority of the time, but Brittany, let's be honest with each other. If I put the look on you.
Yeah, I mean,
you got
on.
Me.
You would fall prey.
Yeah.
Yes.
You got me.
Please.
Now, the overall point of this is not just that August is pathetic, of 4 years without a woman in his bed.
Mm-hmm.
Tad, conversely, 2 years without a woman in his bed.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there are billions and billions of men. And then there's Mike August and Tad. They have great differences between them.
Yes.
August, a man in his 40s. I compare him. He's had many women years ago. I compare him to a team like the Green Bay Packers. A once proud franchise that has now fallen on hard times.
So sad.
Tad, a younger man, 30 years of age.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, a much heftier man. 325 pounds.
Mm.
August, by comparison, 205. Doughy just the same.
Mm. Mm.
But a little more shapely.
Mm-hmm.
Tad. Mm. More like the Chicago Cubs. Perennial losers.
Minus the history. Yeah, and the fans. At least they have fans.
Yes,
Tad
true.
Has no fans.
Tad hails from the OC.
Mm.
Mike August from the Bayou.
Mm.
Both with brown eyes that have turned red from too many lonely, tear-filled nights.
Yeah, those weren't tears. That was them catching themselves, if you know what I mean. Yeah, never do it with the ceiling.
This is
on.
A battle for the ages, a clash of the titans.
Mm.
Who will land a lady in his bed first? Will it be August or Tad? Only time will tell.
Wow, powerful, stirring.
Thank you. Well, I really have to tip my hat to the music.
Yeah.
You can talk about anything with that music playing underneath, and it'll be exciting.
Right? I'm ready to run through a wall now.
All right, so... Mike, the date is in the can, as they say, but Big Tad.
Yes, sir.
The date still awaits. Is that tonight, Brittany?
Actually, it's going to be today. I'm going to take her out to lunch.
You are?
Yes. I've narrowed it down to two choices, either Bossa Nova or Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
Roscoe's!
Oh, really?
We were going to go there last night, but we couldn't find it.
I know where it's at.
Uh-oh.
What a shocker.
There's
that
like
Brittany wanted to go to Roscoe's.
It wasn't my idea.
Yeah, sure
it wasn't.
It wasn't
my idea.
Yeah.
But it was either enthusiastic or left.
You might want to rethink that, Tad.
Yeah.
I might leave her there.
Her first choice was
Roscoe's.
Second choice was the Fat Burger in Westwood. Third was the Hi Ho Motel. The Denver Nuggets are in town. You want to go there. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. We are running late. We will, now how are we gonna, we finish this up when we come back, or we just, guys go out on your date?
Yeah. We'll
go to Roscoe's.
Monday we review.
Oh. Oh, you're going to be looking at those waffles like she's looking at the men behind the counter.
Yeah.
All right, keep an eye on her. I would take her to the IHOP if I were you. I really would. All right, you kids go out, and then we'll hear the report back on Monday. Alan Covert is here. Nick Schwartz in here, Grandma's Boy. Talk to them about that after this.
Listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, I am. All right. Alan Covert here. Nick Swartzen here. Grandma's Boy. Thanks for waiting, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
No problem.
Had to get to some very, very important business about getting a fat guy laid.
Apparently everyone on the show's banging everyone else on the show or something like
that.
Or not.
It's an orgy. It is an orgy. What a revelation. That's what it sounds like when David Allen Greer makes sweet love to his lady friend.
Her name is Brittany Rears, is that right?
Yeah. Wow. Perfect. Wow. And likes the brothers.
Uh-huh.
Nice combo there.
How do you not?
That's a good point. Yeah. Forget about Brittany. How do we stay away from the brother, man?
I painted my penis black.
Smart. I have a theory. I have a theory. We'll get into Grandma's.
My MySpace name is Spray Aiken, by the way.
I have this theory, and tell me if you guys are down with this or not. There's obviously the, maybe a little more than an urban legend that the black man has a larger phallus. But let me tell you what I think has perpetuated this myth. One is, there's no black guy who's ever been in porn that doesn't have a huge schwanz. They won't let him in. Do you see what I'm saying? And many, many people have only seen a black penis in a porn movie. So, hence, do the math. The only ones you've seen are the huge ones, because they're not going to let some black guys get a little pinky between his legs into the porn industry. I'm sorry. I wish we were colorblind. I wish the porn industry was, but I don't think you're getting in as a brother unless you're hung like a black rhino. So that's number one. Number two, anything that's black is going to look more defined and larger. Hence, bodybuilders constantly tanning. You ever see a white guy at the beach, and he's like a red-haired white guy, and he's freckled, and he's got a great build on him, but he's got the pink nipples and the freckles, you're like, I could kick that guy's ass.
I thought black was slimming.
That's what I thought.
It is.
So they must be really huge, is what you're saying.
You know what it offers? No, but it offers a contrast. It offers definition. It just looks more formidable. That's the word. You see,
intimidating.
You take the same guy, 150-pound guy, black, takes his shirt off. He looks more frightening than the white guy with the pink nipples. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
My argument.
I see that.
All right.
Black guys are very masculine, you know what I mean? They also have, very confident.
You're just saying that, though, because you are the pale guy with pink nipples.
My nipples are a hue of pink.
Yeah. But let me say this. Huge areolas.
Oh, Schwartzen?
Don't ask me how I know.
Giant.
Grandma's Boy in theaters as we speak came out last Friday, correct?
Yes.
And is everyone friends with Sandler?
Yeah.
How come everyone is friends with Sandler but me?
I don't know.
I don't think I've ever even met
you
the
know
guy.
What?
There's nobody I
That's
meet.
That's not true.
Oh, I did meet
Gallagher's
him.
Gallagher's in New York.
I did meet him in New York, right.
And I think you snubbed him, and I think that was the problem.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Jimmy and I came in there.
Right, and Jimmy was cool. Jimmy was nice. How's your steak? You were just kind of like, hey, what's up? You're a Sandler. Whatever.
Yeah, it's tough, because you don't want to act like an ass kisser. On the other hand, you don't want to be mistaken
the weird thing,
for rude.
You were kissing Tim Herlihy's ass. That was the weird part.
Yeah, you know what? That's the thing. I put all my money on Beta, I picked the wrong ass to kiss. I picked Hurley's ass.
That gets you nothing. That gets you like a night at his house in Connecticut.
I'm guessing you were there then that night.
Oh, yeah, I was there.
I should have kissed your ass to get to Sandler's ass.
Exactly. Then you would be sitting here instead of Schwarzer.
Yeah, you'd be like a stepping stone ass.
Exactly. I got no problem with that.
Yes. And so obviously this was something, a point of discussion once Jimmy and Adam walk away.
Oh, absolutely not.
Jimmy's a nice guy, but that Corolla.
Oh, no. I just remembered meeting them at Gallagher's and figured I'd roast them a little.
That was the only time I think I've met Sandler. But every comedian, everyone seems to be friends with Sandler. They collaborate. Oh, Sandler's, he's opened doors for me. You couldn't imagine. This guy, he gave me my own production deal. I got an office on the lot now. I got the Escalade. Yeah, it's not mine, but I get to drive it as long as I want for free. Yeah. Sandler did that. We're doing another movie. He's going to put his name on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I'm out of the Sandler circle. I have to infiltrate the Sandler circle.
Schwarzer came in by gun.
Wow.
He just came in with a gun and said, I'm in.
He broke into the Sandler circle.
He said, I'm in.
So now, how much writing or producing or creative whatevering did Sandler do on the movie?
Oh, a ton.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was always there when we were. Schwarzer, my office is right next to his. You know, he gave me the office next to
him. Sure, right, with the Escalade parked out front.
But whenever Schwarzer and I were writing, he'd literally come in every day and be like, what do you got? What do you got?
I learned here that Alan, who I remember from Mr. Deeds and Little Nicky, but mostly from Mr. Deeds, put on 60 pounds.
Not on purpose.
Yeah, you didn't
know that. Little Nicky, I did it on purpose. Mr. Deeds, I quit smoking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then all of a sudden I was like, ooh, I guess I'm going to be fat in this movie.
You worked. You looked good as a fat guy, though. It sort of worked for you.
It was, the perm helped.
Yeah.
It just kind of distracted you from my huge breasts.
But weren't you fat and Little Nicky, too?
Yeah. Well, not as fat. Deeds, I was, like, big. Like, bouncing boobs big.
It's great, though. All you have to do is one feature. It doesn't matter when or what it was. And then you can get fat all you want. It just says on the bio you packed on weight for the role.
Yeah, they make you, They're always like, wow, you did that. You're like the De Niro comedy.
Yeah, but
like,
you were a toll booth operator and you're in one scene and you had no dialogue. Well, you really have to put on 80 pounds for that?
It was a choice.
How dare you mock my craft?
I'm serious about what I do.
All right, Brusca, where are we? Are we behind on a break?
No, we're fine. You can go up to 53.
Oh, really?
Yeah, hang with these guys.
Yeah, wow. I didn't know. I thought we were screwing up here.
No, we're good.
Hey, Billie Jean?
Yeah.
You want to talk about Ozzy doing the movie reviews?
Yeah.
Did you see Grandma's Boy?
No, I haven't.
Well, now you have something to do tonight.
I know, I should.
Yes, you should.
Do you like comedy?
Yes, I do.
Do you like grandma sex?
I never thought about my grandma having sex, and I don't think I want to.
Don't you think you're being selfish, Billie Jean? just because it's dusty doesn't mean you can't use it.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Oh my.
This reminds me of a very sad story when my grandfather passed away about 8 years ago. My grandmother was grieving for the loss of her husband of 40 years, and I went over to her house, and she said, the problem is everything reminds me of your grandfather. I open the closet, I see his overcoat in there. I open the desk drawer, I see his journal in there. I open the cabinet. I see vaginal lubrication.
Oh.
She said she actually brought up the water-soluble lube.
Gosh.
And I was like, really? I had no idea that this is the direction this... I would have stopped this, by the way. I would have stopped this conversation. I would have nipped this well into the bud had I known this was going to be our final destination conversation.
How do you get from overcoat to vaginal lube?
Well, if you're my grandma, in about 11 seconds, 13 syllables, and pow, you're right there. Well, I guess she made
grandma's and vaginal lubrication.
Her point was, is it reminds her of him. It was during intimate times, but still, did she need to share that with me?
Yeah.
Fox?
That's me.
Your name is
Cool.
Fox. Yeah.
Yes, it is, sir. Hey, congrats on the show, man. I liked your comedy.
Thank you. You're going to go see Grandma's Boy?
Hell yeah, tonight I'm taking my wife. We're on a date, and I like these guys. I've seen, like, every Happy Madison movie, and I'm sure I've seen them in each of those.
Yeah, do you, Alan was a fat one, by the way, in all of them.
I'm either fat, gay, or getting my ass whooped.
You're taking your wife on a date.
Yeah.
I don't like the way that sounds. I really don't.
No.
I don't like the guys who take their wives on dates, and I don't like the guys who make the proclamation, she's my best friend.
Yeah, I'm with you on that other one. I'm with you on the other one.
There are
the best friend. But the date thing, like, I'm going on a date with my girlfriend tonight.
You're going with your girlfriend, but not with your wife.
I live with her.
If you have a wife, you don't date her. You don't take her out on dates. It's
condescending. Well, we don't get out much anyways, you know? We got kids, so this is going to be sweet.
Well, take her out to see the movie and then have some mandatory sex with her, but don't call it a date.
All right, I'm taking my woman out.
All right. I don't know. Are there any other comedies out?
No, none.
Nothing else.
There's nothing funny out there.
There's no other comedies.
We are the only. Any other movie, you'll cry.
Yeah.
And not get sex.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's a year where there are all these Syriana movies.
Yeah.
Or Good Night and Good Luck, or all these kind of movies that I'm supposed to want to see.
Right.
And people say are high quality. I have no interest in seeing that.
If you go see our movie, you will not leave confused.
Mm-hmm.
You probably won't leave angry, and you more than likely will laugh.
Yeah.
And purposefully, too.
And you won't be saying, I don't understand, if that giant chimp could clear the Grand Canyon, why couldn't it get out of that stupid wall that the natives built? That would always bother me about King Kong.
Oh, I thought you were
natives.
Because, we have a monkey in our movie.
Oh, do you?
So I thought, I know there's this King Kong movie out there with a monkey. But
yeah,
I didn't
mean to give it any airtime. But it struck me with King Kong. This guy can climb to the top of the Empire State Building. You don't think he can get over the 24-foot wall the natives built? He can't get out? Because that's the thing. They're going to the big wall.
Stupid
climbing. Yeah, do the climbing math. He's going right to the top of the Empire State Building. Can't get over that two-story wall.
Don't they have spikes?
Built?
Don't they have, like, spikes on top of
it? He pops right over it. The natives built the wall to keep him in.
Don't they have, like, a no-ape spray that they spray around the wall?
I think they have one of those things you plug into the ground that I see in the Sky Mall advertised. Where
the
dog
zapper?
Rodents. No, the ones where the rodents and the roaches flee in the other direction. It's ultrasound.
Oh, emotional problem.
No, I bought one for my dog. They said ultrasound doesn't shock you. And my girlfriend's stepdad decided to try it and it shocked the hell out of them.
Wow.
And they said it didn't shock, but they're lying.
Yeah.
Ultrasound by electricity.
We're going to take ourselves a little break. Alan's here, Nick's here, Grandma's Boy. Name of the film, we'll hang in. You guys hang in for another break, and then we'll do some news. We'll do
Alrighty.
Some sports, and Howie Mandel may be checking in from Vegas.
Yes, yeah.
All right. All that after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now. Now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah, that's where to find me. Alan Covert here. Nick Swartzen here. Grandma's Boy, name of the new movie. Out in theaters as we speak. Has Adam Sandler, never met the man, has his stink all over it. We actually have the audio trailer here. Oh. We could cue that up, Mike Lynch.
Yes,
awesome.
It has finally happened. One of the most beautiful women in the world lets down her hair and finds relaxation in a nudist camp.
Wait a minute. I think you have the wrong thing queued up.
Nope, that's it.
What?
Come on, Mike.
Hang on. Cue up the second.
I got it.
All right.
That sounded like
a bunch of women, untamed and shameless, turning on for kicks. Black Angels grabbing every kick along the way.
Turning on for kicks.
Yeah. I'm a new kid of black, and I'll bust you wide open. You ain't busting nobody, Whitey.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a racial overtone. I thought it was just a straight comedy.
Heavy. It's a little heavy.
Look, we're out there competing with the big boys.
Wow.
You got to have a message.
Well, maybe Brittany will go see it now. All right, turn that down. Speaking of the racial issue, we were at a club last night for the, it was for the mother station here, KLSX, but they're doing a thing where they're meeting all the affiliates and the sponsors. And it was one of these glad handing things. It's fine. It's one of these things you have to do. It's the business side of the radio. You got to go. You got to meet the people. You got to schmooze. You got to take a few pictures. They always feel compelled to have it at a club, a hip and happening club. Even though the average age is 51, hair color sort of purplish red. Everyone's got a comb over, and everyone is 5'4 and milky white. But they still have to have it at a happening club. And so if you have it at a happening club, you have to get the club DJ. So you get some 20-something-year-old who's spinning the urban tunes, and I didn't see a black face in the entire crowd. Now, I'm not making a judgment, but it was a bunch of white guys who own radio stations and own, you know, LASIK eye surgery centers, and they didn't want to hear hip-hop, I'm guessing, but they pump it. Now, nobody dances, ironically. The music just thumps and pumps in the background, and everyone gets drunk, and then you have to meet everyone. Put the music up. I'll tell you, the whole night, this isn't loud enough is the problem. It really needs to go up a little bit. And so the whole night, you walk in, and then, Adam, come here. Adam. No, not loud enough. It's got to go, Adam, I want you to meet somebody here. Yeah, this is Doug Kuchenberg from McKenna VW. Hi, Doug. Hey, Doug, good to see you, Doug. Doug's white as a ghost. He's 61 years old. Doug's a big fan, likes the direction. Sorry, Doug, what? You want to get a picture? Oh, a picture. Okay, Doug, good. Good. Now, this goes on for the length of the party, and it's just old white people standing around trying to hear what the other guy's saying. Spitting on each other now because everyone is drunk, and when it... So the name is, it's Doug Kuchenberg, McKenna VW. You want to get a picture? All right, and now you're getting hoarse because, all right, now I'm going insane. Turn it down. All I'm saying is when did we sign off on this? And is there an equivalent? Is there a room full of black people? And we got an old white guy. I got some Jane the Americans you guys are going to want to hear. And then I got some Guy Lombardo. It's going to be awesome.
Some Motley Crue.
You guys in the crew. Who's in the Poison? Rat? Winger?
Anyone.
Who won? Anyone? I'm just going to start spinning it. That's it. And you guys will not be able to have a conversation because I'll have it so loud. So really, it's 300 white people, average age 55, spitting at each other and over the deafening tones of the bass thud.
You think that wasn't the biggest issue I had last night?
It was for me.
Well, I understand that, but they have also a casino, you know, casino, mm-hmm. playing with fake money. You know, they have the chips that are worth nothing.
Right.
All right.
I hate that.
Right. So they have the 21 table and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I look at that. They have the chips, you know. Mm-hmm. All right. It's the Adam Carolla show that they're in part promoting. Mm-hmm. So they have chips made up, special chips made up.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Carolla's face on it. Mm-hmm. That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Novelty item.
Thank you.
Then I look on a little further at the chips. Who do I find? Rachel Perry.
Oh, that's so pretty.
The news lady from the Adam Carolla radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, well, now I'm intrigued. Well, I guess they made them for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Go through another 2,500 chips.
Mm-hmm.
No Dave Damashek.
Nothing.
What gives?
Snake eyes.
Did you look at the chips on the food table? Maybe they like put your...
Maybe they had some cool ranch Doritos
hand
with your face on it.
Get a fry.
How am I to have any faith in the powers that be?
Feeling
when they
sad.
Don't
doubt
the greatest asset of this show, when we're going out to market this show,
mm-hmm.
is this puss.
Yeah.
You see? This ruggedly handsome mug. They don't see fit to put... How am I to have faith going forward with this operation?
Well,
I think that's your ego talking. Just feeling a little left out.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was attempting to broach this subject with the sales manager, Bob Moore, but he couldn't hear me. I was spitting on him and yelling at him. He didn't know what I was talking about because of the music. I did. I said, Bob! 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 Dave Damashek! No! No, I don't want... No, okay, I'll get a picture with the guy from McKenna VW. All right, but hold on. You don't understand. Yeah, not one person dancing yet. The thud of the bass never ended.
There wasn't even there wasn't even the one guy's too drunk wife.
Even that guy. I'm just saying, if nobody is dancing and everybody doesn't listen to this music and nobody can have a goddamn conversation, can we go ahead and just tone it down for just everything? all these parties. Every club, does every club need to be pumping this stuff? We just reel it in just a little bit.
Let's have a couple of quiet clubs.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying put in Chopin or Bach or something. Put a little old Earth, Wind, and Fire or something. You know what I mean?
Just but why not old Bach? School. Why not Bach?
Why not?
Let's throw it out there.
We'll go back to the salon style club.
Yes.
Maybe Sounds of the Wind or Rainforest or something.
Can only imagine what Dave's mother would have to say about this poker chip travesty.
Oh, he won't tell her.
What
she
is what
right
I'm
now.
Asking.
Oh, that's
what is
right.
the thought process? Let's put Rachel Perry on a chip?
All right.
What gives?
I think I know.
I don't have a double chin. What yeah. on?
Go ahead and do the math.
Rachel's kind of hot.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Dave, you're a man, but you have two eyes.
You're
you
a
see
nice
what
guy,
is.
Dave. You're a nice guy.
All right. Speaking of the hot Rachel Perry, Rachel, you primed and ready to do the news?
Oh, I'm all primed. That's for sure. Thinking of your grandma right now.
Earn that chip, baby.
Saudi officials say unruly pilgrims and lack of proper security is to blame for the death of 345 people near Mecca on Thursday during the annual ritual where stones are thrown at a symbolic devil. This is the worst disaster at the ritual in 16 years.
Cannot judge. There's only different. There's not better or worse. That's what I've learned in life. There's nothing wrong with these folks throwing rocks at an imaginary deity and trampling each other each and every year. Nothing wrong with that.
Look,
there's only different.
Hey, I remember the big Easter stampede last year.
Yeah.
I mean, what was it, 7,000 eggs crushed?
That's how I don't want to get back to Grandma, but that's how we lost Grandpa during the Easter stampede of 97.
He was
very
going
sad.
For the foil-covered egg.
Yeah, very sad. Cannot judge. No difference between that and hiding Easter eggs. No difference.
We're all just people.
We're all just people, and it's not the people. It's the government. We're not going to judge. Let's keep moving. Everything is good. Nothing is bad.
The so-called explosive device that was found earlier this week in the bathroom of a San Francisco Starbucks that police originally said would have been powerful enough to kill or do serious damage. Merely a flashlight casing filled with corroded batteries.
Yeah.
This was the mystery object that a Starbucks employee alerted the police about.
To me, the tip that it wasn't the neutron bomb they originally thought was that they actually blew it up in the bathroom. Mm. Now, I'm guessing. I'm not on the bomb squad, but if it would have taken down the building, I'm guessing they would have moved it outside.
How did they know it was a flashlight? Like, there's a mystery object in the bathroom. We better call somebody. Have you never seen a flashlight?
Well, here's the thing. Now that bombs have become the chosen weapon of terrorists, everything is a bomb now. You know, when you were growing up, if some kid took some match heads in and put them in a piece of a galvanized pipe or something, no one said anything about it. But now that everyone is blowing themselves up and 9/11 and all that stuff, bombs are at the head of the news. Everything's a bomb. Mm.
Especially when you see like a movie like Munich where they made anything into a bomb. Like the phone was a bomb. Like there was just...
Yeah.
So now, you know, you have to worry about everything.
Well, it's kind of like vibrators. They make anything into a vibrator now. You can get them that look like lipstick or like a phone. Or
better than Munich is an example. The movie with Sharon Stone and Sly Stallone. Where he was a bomb.
Yes.
He was the assassin. He made the bombs.
The bomber.
What was that?
Yes.
Assassins, I believe.
No,
right?
that was Antonio Banderas.
This one, he made bombs. He would blow up people. He wanted to blow up the person.
Professional?
The professional. The kill check.
The there's specialist?
A,
something like that.
There's a great line in that movie, too, where it's like, she says to him, or he says to Sharon, well, why me? Why do you need me? I'm an explosive expert. You want the guy who killed your brother dead. Why don't you just hire someone to assassinate him with a bullet? Chance of innocent people being hurt. That was her example. So we'll blow him up?
What? I think
really?
It was Total
that
Recall.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's what I yelled.
Is it Stop
the
or My Mom Will Shoot? Is it that movie?
Total Recall.
Okay. Total Recall.
Yeah.
No, that was other one with Sharon Stone. He did two with
that's
Sharon
Schwarzenegger
Stone.
Schwarzenegger and Sharon Stone.
Michelle. Oh, yeah, Schwarzenegger.
Michelle.
Yes.
Your girlfriend's vagina has clouded your mind. Pat yourself down, please.
Okay.
Total Recall. All right, let's keep going.
The specialist was correct.
Was it the specialist?
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. Total Recall. Ironically, no recall involved with that answer. Zero recall.
Adam, you want to hear about Pat Robertson, or you want me to move on to some entertainment stuff?
Go entertainment.
All right. Rumor has it that, you know, there were some phone calls that passed between Brad and Jen, or Jen and Angelina, about this baby. According to Jennifer Aniston's representation, Brad never called her to tell her about the pregnancy.
Wow. Most ex-husbands.
Do you have to do that?
I mean, do you even call your ex-wife ever?
I sent Stallone to blow him up.
That's what I did.
Because you didn't want any innocent bystanders taken
Can't judge.
Down.
Yeah. I just wanted one person dead. That's why I blew him up. That's why the terrorists use bombs. It only gets one guy. That's how it works. Anyone who knows 9/11 or any embassy bombings, one guy. That's all.
Cynthia Watrous pleaded guilty to drunken driving yesterday. Her license will be suspended for 90 days. She's the girl from Lost.
Okay. Mm. I'm glad you threw that one in there.
She's the other one from Lost, whose name we don't know, who was drunk driving on the same night as Michelle Rodriguez. Does that...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were on the same night.
I don't know why. I know it's pathetic, but I like hearing about a cute chick getting a DUI. It's nice. Makes them vulnerable. Makes them human.
It's kind of justice. So.
Yeah, I like that.
You want more vulnerable and human?
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay Lohan and Kate Moss were recently hanging out together at Scores Strip Club in New York, drinking, and witnesses say they were in and out of the ladies' room frequently. They went wild, apparently, and started pole dancing on stage together.
Really?
Mm.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Two good influences on each other.
Yeah.
that's a nice support group in the making.
I can't believe they both had diarrhea.
That much, that they had to keep going to the bathroom so often.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you always hear about these things breaking out at these strip clubs.
Yeah, not when I'm there.
Never. When I'm there, it's fat chicks who've been stabbed by their ex night.
You know, it's like the sad businessman crying
right,
at the end of the
right.
bar.
Yeah, why hit stretch mark night when you can hit hot celebrity pole dancing
yeah,
night?
Yeah, making out. Someone needs to tell Lindsay, though, that big boobs were better. Sorry, Lindsay.
Yes, I am with you 100%. The emaciated look, now. I liked her when she was buxom and robust. Yes. She was like a melon ready to, you know, when you cut into a ripe melon, you just barely cut it with a knife and it explodes open. That's the way I picture the old Lindsay looking.
That got evil.
Yeah. Keep going, sweetie.
Sienna Miller told Interview Magazine that if she ever runs into Jude Law's nanny, probably former nanny now, Daisy Wright, the one that he cheated
I think that's a fair
on her
guess.
With,
yeah.
said that she had better live in fear and that she better hope she doesn't run into her in a dark alley.
But Jude can come and bang me tonight,
yeah.
apparently.
Oh, yeah. It's always the chick's fault. That's what I love.
It's his fault that chubby girl slept with him.
Yeah.
And finally, David Hasselhoff on the market again.
Oh, really?
Yes. He's filed for divorce from Pamela Bach, citing irreconcilable differences. They were together for 16 years.
I saw Hasselhoff at the car show a week ago. Shirt undone to the navel.
Oh, yeah.
Big crucifix. Mm. It was funny because it looked like a guy who was doing a Hasselhoff impersonation.
Yeah.
You know, once in a while you see a celebrity that's too much the celebrity, and you think, well, can't be that guy. Yeah. There's too much of him. This guy would travel. You know, he'd reel it in. He'd put some hat on and some sunglasses. I'm surprised he wasn't wearing those red shorts and carrying that plastic buoy thing. I really was just standing there in front of the Maserati, just preening.
You know what Hasselhoff just did?
Hmm.
Co-starred with Sandler.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
They're friends, man.
God damn. Who doesn't this guy up with in Hollywood? Who?
You got to go back to that steakhouse. If only you could go back.
Oh, if I could build a time machine and go back to Gallagher's in Manhattan in 1997. First, I'd bring my grandfather back from the tragic 97 Easter stampede. And then I would go visit Sandler, toast him and wish him well. Ask him if he lost weight. All right.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Round two of the NFL playoffs begin tomorrow. Redskins at Seattle. Denver hosting New England Patriots.
Go Denver.
Then on Sunday, Carolina at the Chicago Bears and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Go to the Indianapolis Colts. NBA last night, Kobe versus LeBron here in L.A. Lakers win it, 99-98. Phoenix kills Golden State, and Detroit whips San Antonio in a possible, what people call a finals preview. Pac-10 hoops, Oregon State wins, UCLA wins, and Washington wins. Speaking of USC, Lendell White announced he's going pro a couple days ago. Reggie Bush followed suit as expected yesterday. Buffalo Bills head coach Mike Mularkey resigned yesterday. And this is something interesting. I think this is going to upset you, as a matter of fact, Ace.
Mm.
You fancy the name, Ace, yes?
I like it.
Well, You know, there's a pitcher in Arizona, mm-hmm. Diamondbacks, named Casey Daigle. Mm-hmm. He's married to that Jenny Finch, you know, the blonde fox, mm-hmm. you know, the softballer. The Olympic
strikes out
hero.
All the dudes, yeah.
Right, throws 100 miles an hour, you know.
Yeah, you know what bugs me about female softball? Just wear baseball hats. You have to wear that stupid visor.
Yeah.
You're playing
yeah.
baseball. Put the hat on.
Well, they have all that hair, though.
Go ahead and stick the ponytail.
Well, the ball cap does the same thing. No.
What about stick the ponytail?
Yeah, they should
the
just shave their heads.
Yeah. You're lesbian. Shave your heads. Be with your sisters. Word up. Yeah. Put a hat on. I don't like that stupid visor. You're not working at a fast food place. You're on the diamond.
And why the sleeves for the basketball women? The college basketball women.
They're angry.
Anyway, listen, these two, this Daigle and Finch, they're hitched. They got hitched a little while back.
Imagine their offspring. What kind of arm that offspring would have?
That's what I'm getting to. They made some time, apparently,
mm-hmm.
and now she's pregnant, and they already know it's a boy.
Wow.
And not only do they know it's a boy, they've already decided on its name.
Herbert?
Ace.
Yeah.
Really? That
yeah.
steps on your toes, right, Ace? No?
I think I could probably sue them for some sort of domain infringement or something, number one. But number two, you're overdoing it, and now the kid's going gay. You see what I'm saying?
We'll never play sports.
Yeah, it's going to
we'll
be ironic because you named the kid Ace. Your mom was the world's greatest softball pitcher. Your dad, a big leaguer who could throw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. You named the kid Ace. He's going gay.
Bye-bye, Birdie, in his
you
future.
You should call Stallone, though.
That's right.
Call.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can understand. If you're having twins,
right?
I fancy Ace and Deuce. I would think that
Deuce,
both of those
Deuce.
Ace Damashek, Ace Damashek, and Deuce Damashek. The only question is which one's cooler. I don't know.
Yeah, Deuce Damashek. I think I'd go for.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You have to immediately buy him a gun, though.
If
it was Deuce Damashek, you need to pack some heat.
It'll be great when Deuce Damashek becomes Ace Finch's partner. Life partner eventually.
Something to look forward to.
That'll be awesome when those two turn
down. Yeah, you're right. Well, and also, I mentioned earlier Reggie Bush went pro. You know, he and I are dear friends, and
mm-hmm.
We have been for some time, for the last few years, since he and I vied for the starting tailback position
sure,
at SC
sure.
before I
and
blew out my
out the knee. Yeah.
Right, that
yeah.
was it. But anyway, we've stayed close,
mm-hmm.
and he came by right after.
Oh, did you talk to him?
I talked to him right after the show, as a matter of fact. He stopped by because he's... I guess
did you record
getting,
it, or did you just...
I did. Well, I'm getting it from all sides. He's getting it from all sides, you know,
mm-hmm.
pro, stay,
right.
you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat, he you know, wanted some advice from...
sat down with him?
From Damashek, and I gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
When we get back, I should...
We'll hear that when we come back?
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. All right, we got to take a little break. I want to thank Alan Covert, Nick Swartzen for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thanks Grandma's Boy, everybody.
Grandma's
Go
boy.
See it. Everyone's in it but me.
Next one.
Everyone but me. Oh, Sandler. Must be nice. All right. In theaters as we speak, we'll hear the exclusive interview with Reggie Bush. And also...
we have to make our NFL playoff
picks. NFL playoff picks. Howie Mandel on the blower.
Yep.
All that after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Oh, man, we started the show. What do you know? Nice job, Bruska. Howie Mandel. It's all right.
My fault.
Well, listen, you're the producer, and if stuff goes wrong, I blame you. That's how it works.
You're right.
Who else? What am I doing? Going to blame myself?
No.
Dave, show her the chip. Do you see your face on one of those chips?
I do not.
Well,
you're 100% correct.
All
you
right.
can play Eskiss Rodeo if you want. I'll do it.
That is enough. Howie Mandel is on hold. We will talk to him in just a second. We will also first hear from Damashek, who had an exclusive interview with Reggie Bush.
Well, it wasn't so much an interview. As I say, we've been dear friends for some time since we played
you
together
competed.
At UCL.
You competed
right.
for the same position over at SC.
Right. It was over. The competition for the starting tailback spot was over before
and
the
game. Well, anyone knows SoCal Sports knows that the University of Southern California has a rich tradition in slow Jewish running backs.
Right.
Goes back to...
Untimely injury.
Untimely and blew out a knee.
Right.
So you sat down with Reggie.
Well, he stopped by. He's like I said, you know, he's really. I guess he'd been racked since the Rose Bowl with
mm-hmm.
with you know some people say go pro, some people say come back. He didn't know. He didn't know which way to turn. So our mutual friend McClammy brought him over and with the tape recorder, and we sat down, and I happened to record. I thought it might be a good idea.
Would you please get to the crappy bit?
Thanks.
Please get. Let's get this over with.
Please. All right. I'd like to. Let's wait.
How come you don't yell
Reggie
at him,
Bush,
like
my man.
I just
unexpected
did.
Pleasure to see you here. Hey, I know you're going through a tough time trying to make this decision. Did you get the deli platter the show sent over?
Yeah, I just want to thank everybody.
Well, between you and me, I paid for it. I put the order in. I asked Adam to give me a little bit of money, and he has yet to pay me. But that's just between us. But as far as this going pro thing goes, you have to ask yourself some questions. Do you want to go to the Houston Texans, or would you rather go for a second Heisman? And maybe most importantly, what's your favorite kind of breakfast meat? You know, bacon, sausage, they get a lot of attention. But, you know, I think the ham is actually the best of all breakfast meats.
Now, I don't know if I have all the right answers, you know, but I know that, you know, the questions are definitely worth considering.
Sure. But back to this going pro thing. One man's opinion, I say go pro. I don't want to influence you unduly, but I say go pro. How say you?
I have decided to forego my senior season and declare myself eligible for the 2016
NFL draft. People taking photographs while you're doing the interview?
Oh, terrific. You should have a press conference or something then and let everybody know. You know, the white hot spotlight of fame, you know, for Bush and Dave, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, they're photographing you,
paparazzi,
mainly.
Paparazzi, yeah.
Stockerazzi, I mean,
we sat down on the steps outside the studio.
I just want to have a man-to-man. Man.
That's what they want to do, these vultures.
Wow.
These
amazing
vultures.
They couldn't get any of those photos and stick them on a poker chip.
I know, it's shocking. But then I guess he went ahead and he announced it to the world, you know, a little later. So,
another scoop.
Congratulations.
Well, Dave, it was worth the wait, I got to tell you. It was worth the wait.
Dave Damashek's number one sport.
It's weird that he was in another room than I was, apparently, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know why. But.
And I seem to hear the smoke alarm going off from earlier this morning. I guess they had problems over at Kimmel's.
I have a question. Did it disappear, or did we just get used to it?
I think it disappeared. Oh. I think the audio part went out, but the light still remains. Howie?
Adam.
Good to talk to you, Howie.
It is good.
Howie, a couple of things. First off, you're calling from Las Vegas, and thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
I'm going to plug your Vegas shows like they've never been plugged before. But first, I would like to tell you what a fan I am of the Deal No Deal show that was on network. I don't know what its status is, but I watched it. I found it compelling, and I could not turn it off.
I'm a bigger fan than you of the, and so is my mortgage holder, a bigger fan than you of that particular game. But it did, I don't know if you know, it set records. It was huge. You have no idea
how
important I am now.
I do. That's why I'm kissing your ass.
Right. I am so huge. That's why I'm up at 9:30 in the morning in Vegas.
Yeah, well,
making phone calls to the radio station. But the thing is that it broke all records, and it's good. At NBC, I think they know me as Regis.
Yeah. Oh no, you're synonymous with quality over there.
Yes.
Howie Mandel is going to be performing at the MGM Grand tonight through Wednesday.
Right.
This is a way to make some pretty good coin, is it not?
The whole Vegas thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge.
I mean,
it's big money.
Yeah, I mean,
so I've got a white hot television show, and I'm making huge, huge cash.
I know you're being sarcastic, but it's true.
No, I am, but at the same time, there's an element of truth.
Yes, I mean, everyone hears about, you know, Leno or Cosby or something like that. I don't think people realize how much Carrot Top makes in Vegas. What do you think?
Millions.
What does he make a week? What do you think Carrot Top pulls down a week in Vegas when he's performing there?
I would say it's in the hundreds of thousands.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is paying
hundreds of thousands to see Carrot Top?
What?
I just saw they had an article of what people are making in Vegas in this magazine. You know, everything, the waitress to the dealer to entertainers. And in it, they have to, you know who amazing Jonathan is?
Who's making the most?
Well, it's not amazing Jonathan. He's a funny comedy magician.
Oh,
he's making $8 million a year.
All right. Their phone was breaking up. Who's making $8
million? You know what? The Amazing Jonathan now.
Oh, The Amazing Jonathan, yeah.
$8 million a year here in Vegas.
It is insane what these guys make, and people don't know it. I mean, you assume you're making the money doing your TV or doing commercials or something like that, and then when these guys, that's why they fly to Vegas every weekend, because they go and they come back, and they come back with $300,000. It's amazing. And anyone who knows Howie Mandel knows he has a huge Coke habit, and he has to keep up. Yes, Howie?
Well, yes.
That's what you would say.
Yeah. And you know what? I think this is the first Ford Recovery is announcing it on your show.
Thank you. Howie is...
thank you. And
not only going to be there tonight through Wednesday, but goes back in February and then March and April and May.
I'm always here at the MGM Grand for Jimmy here, but also Deal or No Deal is also back in March.
Yeah.
It was a huge success, and right after, leading out of the Olympics, another weak stunt on NBC, Deal or No Deal. In fact, there's a lineup here in Vegas, and they had it in San Diego last week, thousands of people asleep. It's over at various years because they're looking new contestants.
Howie, we have a horrible connection. There's something going on.
It's not a horrible connection. I'm going to see a doctor too. This is
it's an impediment. Boy, is my face red.
This is the way I talk. From time to time, my voice has been going in and out.
Wow.
And I get a staticky sound, and it's just it's a horrible thing. And
so sad. Wow. Sounding like Charlie Brown's teacher. What a predicament.
And when I go through canyons, people can hear what I'm saying.
Wow. I'm so sorry, Howie. We have to let you go only because I think the line is horrible.
It sounds like it got a little better.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
You can hang up on me. That's fine. I'm just going to keep going with this view regardless because that's the kind of guy I am.
All right. It is horrible.
I'm going to be plugging. I'm going to be talking to myself. Put the phone and you keep going with your show.
Thanks, Howie. And thank you for not calling it my little show. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Howie.
Come see us in the studio, but not if you really do talk that way. All right. There's a little problem with that, but it is amazing how much money is dispensed in Vegas. And Rachel, you got a puss on when you found out that Carrot Top makes $1 million a week over there.
He's not funny.
I'm telling you, who do you think is funny, by the way? Because I've not met that man yet. Who do you, clearly not a fan of me or Damashek, but who do you think is funny? I'm always curious. Do you have anybody?
Let me think.
Well, why don't you give it some thought for Beat, and let me just filibust here.
All right.
People,
I like that there's no attempt to say to the host of the show, that's you're incorrect, Adam.
I know Rachel doesn't think
Adam had just pulled out his pocket fisherman for compliments.
Yes.
Right there. That's your invention. The pocket compliment fisher.
No, man. Right. Look, I know.
What do you mean? I sit here, I laugh at you.
Oh,
I'm not.
Yes.
I'm not going to kiss your ass.
I'm surprised the filling doesn't fly out of you.
I think
you laugh so hard.
Kiss Rodeo.
I really do.
You should
really
play Ask Kiss Rodeo.
You want me to play Ask Kiss Rodeo? I'll play it. But you know what? I'm a sincere person. I'm not going to lie to you.
Right.
I think you're funny.
Sure.
No.
Look.
No, that's it. I'm not laughing anymore. Obviously, everything, my laughter isn't appreciated around here. I understand.
Well, maybe if we heard it, we could test it out and see if it was appreciated.
No, I don't like to waste my laughter on just the stuff. People who don't appreciate it. I mean, if you're not going to. It's fine. I would have said you're funny, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. If you know, I know I can see when I'm not appreciated. It's fine.
No. I look. Here's what I want to say. Here's
so
what I'm going to say.
Funny, Adam.
Here's what I want to say.
Oh, tell me.
Not everybody is bodes with everyone's sensibilities. I'm probably not your cup of tea comedically.
What are you? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I'm more of a prop comic, and it's clear that you're not into that. I pull out the giant baby that's duct taped to a ironing board, and I do my baby on board joke. You know,
it's just not funny. I'm sorry, it's not funny.
Right.
It's not funny.
All right. Here's the point. You don't like Carrot Top. The jury's out on me. I don't take offense to it. I really don't.
Do you really? Honestly, right now, do you think I think you're not funny?
No, I don't think you think I'm not funny, but I don't think you think I am funny. I just think you think
In fairness to Rachel, I think she's been concentrating on doing her job and doing the news.
I do, too.
And I think she may have been a little distracted.
Well, okay, here's the thing.
Trying to do her job.
You and Dave and, I don't know, Mike Lynch, Bresca, the lesbian board up, all the other people out there.
She has a name. It's Dyko.
Thank you. You guys all know each other.
Hold on a second.
Wait, you guys don't.
I'm sorry. Laughed.
You know what? Excuse me for a second.
Hold on
here.
One second.
I changed my name, actually. It's not that anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You guys don't think I'm funny either. So let's just call a spade here.
Right.
Can you actually call a spade?
Yeah, I think you did.
I think that's
your job is not to be funny, to call a spade. I mean, it's nice. It's a nice fringe benefit. It's a perk. But you deliver the news, you do the commentary, you join in on the conversation, but you're not under any real obligation to be funny.
It's not like I'm trying. I just trying to be myself, but, you know, occasionally
I'm saying
things that are amuse me and other people that I know, but if you don't think it's funny.
I'm not attacking you, but what I'm saying is
You just laughed at me. I got a little chuckle out of Adam.
It's not a prerequisite that we think you're funny because that I don't have to think Bruska's funny either. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you don't know me that well either. I mean, we know each other okay, but I think over time you'll find me somewhat humorous. Probably
I doubt
more
that,
funny
but
than Rachel.
Yes, look, here's what I'm saying, Rachel. What I'm saying is this. Please take your defensive boots off for 1 second and just put your... Put my cozy ear open slippers on and just relax for a second. I'm not saying you think I'm unfunny. And I'm not saying you have to think I'm funny. I'm just saying after sitting here for 2 weeks, it's clear to me that I wouldn't be amongst your top 10 funny if you had a list. I'm not saying you have anything against me personally. I'm just,
no, I wouldn't say that.
You think I'm okay, I'm sure. You think I have every right to do this job, but I wouldn't call you a big Adam Carolla fan in the comedy department. That's all I'm saying.
I wouldn't say that. I don't know. If you're looking for me to say. Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things where you're setting me up.
I'm not.
To act like I don't think you're funny.
I'm not. Well, look, I hang around with people and it's various degrees. There's some people that think I'm a genius. There's other people that have no idea what I do and aren't interested. I'm fine with all of them. You're somewhere in between that. That's fine. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, at the end of the day, at least you're a bigger fan than his parents are.
I would say this, though, in about a month, when she's more comfortable doing the news and everything, and she's done a great job, and she's getting better, I would think that she'll participate more in some of the other
stuff. When you're under a high level of stress...
Yes. You're focusing.
I'm focusing. First of all, I'm like the last person. I just moved here from New York. I don't even have hot water in my apartment. I slept in my bed for the first time like 2 days ago. I'm stressed out. I don't know you guys.
Not an attack.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Well, yeah, it is.
All right. We will take ourselves a break. When we come back.
Oh, Mike Lynch, you are so funny.
We're going to find out.
Oh, gosh.
We're going to find out who Rachel thinks is funny. Now, take a minute.
Oh, God. I'm sorry.
Write down some comedians.
I'm crying right now.
Rachel, please. Compose yourself, please. Write down some comedians.
Right.
Write down some sitcoms you like. Movies. Write down some funny movies and we'll go over them.
Okay, all right.
All right, all right.
All
that after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. All right, little more show to go, a lot more show to do. First off, Ricky's mad at me for picking on Rachel. Oh, no. He likes Windy City Heat. Sorry. Is it out on DVD? I think it is. Is that your question, Ricky?
Yes, it is.
All right. I think it's out on DVD. Aaron.
Yeah, Adam.
You're mad at me for picking on Rachel.
No, I'm not mad at you. I just wanted to try to cheer up Rachel real quick. I just want to tell her that there's plenty of fans of hers who listen to the show, obviously for Adam's... funny humor, and then for her, just to hear her beautiful voice.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah, she does have a lovely radio voice. And I don't want people to think I'm picking on Rachel. I'm a fan of Rachel's. We're just getting into an honest discussion. I'm not trying to attack you. I'm just saying what I feel.
And I don't feel attacked.
Good. Now tell us your list.
All right.
Of funny people, funny movies, funny sitcoms.
Funny things. Interestingly, I love Windy City Heat. That's
really?
Probably one of my favorite movies.
Wow.
It's hilarious.
Good answer.
It really is. If you haven't seen it, you have to. When I saw it, I was like telling everybody.
This is a movie Adam Sandler produced. No, it's a movie we produced for Comedy Central. It's a bit of a cult classic.
It's genius. Mm. It's genius.
All right.
Now, off the top of my head, because I can't think, The Party with Peter Sellers.
Mm.
There's
Birdie
a favorite.
Num Num. Yes.
Highbrow choice.
Yes.
Anything with Mike Myers, but specifically So I Married an Axe Murderer.
All right. Solid.
Adam Sandler in Big Daddy and Happy Gilmore, but none of his other movies.
Mm.
Kathy Griffin, I think she's funny.
Yes.
I saw
we'll
some stand-up
we'll
she did.
We'll get her back in here.
Dave Chappelle.
Yes.
Eddie Murphy in Raw and Delirious, but not the movies that he does.
Well, now I feel worse, because clearly you have a good sense of humor.
Jack Black, Dave Letterman, not Jay Leno. Big fan of the movie FUBAR, which, you know what, I got to get you guys a copy of this. It's this hilarious Canadian mockumentary about headbangers, which where I grew up, we call them dirts.
Yeah, sort of like a Spinal Tap.
Yeah, Spinal Tap, also a favorite of mine. Family Guy. And
sitcoms? Any sitcoms you like?
Family Guy.
Oh, you just mentioned that. Yes.
Yeah, Family Guy. I think Will and Grace is funny.
Well,
I like the song Maneater.
Clearly. What? What was that?
I like the song Maneater.
Interesting.
Nobody. It wasn't part of that. I didn't. What? Are you? You're not.
It's.
I know you're kidding.
I know.
Oh, please. Now this has turned into a roast.
I think this may be the new news theme song.
Oh, no. No, please.
She's a news reader.
Oh, I'm going to fall on the Sharpie. All right, Rachel. Thanks for the laugh, by the way. Rachel, now clearly you do have an evolved sense of humor. I thought you were going to come up with stuff like Saved by the Bell. And
awesome.
Yeah, I didn't know. All right, good job. We're cool.
All right. Well, we'll go out for lunch or something.
We'll go out for lunch.
I'll get you a copy of FUBAR. You have to see that movie. You would like it.
All right. Sheck?
Yes?
We have about a minute and a half left.
Well, I just thought we should quickly, I made my picks last week, and let me just say that I went 4-0, and that is legitimate.
Good for
Check
you.
The tape. I went 4-0. This week, we'll each make our picks.
Yeah.
All right.
I got Joe Buck's picks as well. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. First of all, let's start with the Redskins getting 9.5 at Seattle. I'll start off by saying I'm going to take Seattle.
Mm.
They're going to double-digit victors. So say I. How
Redskins.
Say you?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Skins, too. I think Seattle's a great team. I think they'll clobber them, but maybe the Skins will get a trash touchdown at the end.
And Rachel goes along with you.
Yeah, just the off the I just like the
it's
color
a new
red.
Trend.
Staying in the NFC, then, Carolina pays a visit to the Chicago Bears. Chicago is giving 3.
Mm. I'll take the Bears at home.
And Carolina?
Not
Carolina
much more.
Panthers. I am taking Carolina.
I'm going to go for Chicago.
Okay, I'm going to take Carolina to win.
Wow.
Now, on to the AFC. Ace, the game that is already haunting you before it's even been played. New England Patriots, the defending champs, at Denver. Denver's giving 3. I'm going to go out on a limb. Denver wins it.
Yeah.
I guess not that much on a limb when they're favored, but still.
No. I'm going to take the Pat so I have some solace after they win.
Denver.
All right. Rachel's
with me
on that.
Whatever pops into my head first.
And finally, the Pittsburgh Steelers, +9.5 at Indianapolis, the so-called best team in football.
Mm.
But I don't know what they have to say against the black and gold. Ace, your pick?
It's hard to focus with you swinging the terrible towel around. And I don't want you to take this personally because this is purely professional, but I'm going to go with the Colts, even though they're giving away the points.
Great.
I feel like they could hang around for a while, and they might get away from them in the fourth quarter. I'm going Colts.
Front runner.
Me too.
Colts for me.
Just because.
Mm-hmm.
Don't they have red in their uniform?
The Colts?
No.
I don't know.
No. Blue and white. What a reversal this is.
She's thinking of the Argonauts.
All of a sudden, she's jumping on Corolla's
ship. Wrap it up.
That's it. Go Steelers.
Yeah, Joe Buck also had Carolina, Seattle, Indy, New England.
All right. So we'll figure out those picks and how we fared on Monday. I want to thank Nick Swartzen for coming in here. Alan Covert, Grandma's Boy. Also, Fox's, the aforementioned Fox's Joe Buck for being a Such a mensch on the phone. Howie Mandel. We'll get that technical glitch figured out soon. And Brittany, the sales girl, for going out to Roscoe's with Big Tad. And the lovely revelation she made about the Mendingo Warrior. Nice. All right. God bless y'all. Thanks for listening. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.